The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man.
Unlike you, I actually use these things. Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped, like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and 1 week from today, training camp opens for the public. Everyone will come streaming in to get their first glimpses of guys, hopefully with numbers on their back, going through the routine of getting ready for the 2014 campaign. And we're excited. The gang is all here. Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred, Kevin's in the booth. We're back. At least for this week.
At least for today.
For this show.
For this day, yeah.
But you guys excited? Can you feel it? Can you feel like, you know, the blood starting to circulate through Gillette Stadium?
Sure. Yeah.
No? It's just another season
not,
for
not you. Quite ready.
Well, you know what I think is making that hard to do is the construction that's still underway.
Yeah. There's a lot of construction.
New construction now.
Yeah.
Now they're doing something under the bridge there.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like we're ready yet. And I mean the collective work.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah.
there's still a lot of work to do. Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on.
Jackhammers.
Thankfully, our cubes are no longer
underneath or above, and, I guess, the drilling.
And we're walking in a different way. We're walking into the building, you know, the last few days.
Lady this morning was walking, like, straight through the construction. I don't know how she got in there. But and, like, security's going, you're not supposed to be in there.
Alert, alert.
Well, I would ask, where was the person in the front that's
right
to kind of direct you?
Yeah.
I got here today, and where that opening is, there's bicycle fence now that leads us to a new door.
Right.
And right at the opening of the bicycle fence were two huge Dunkin' Donut iced coffees on the ground. No guard to be seen. I don't know where he was, but his iced coffees were there.
You should have, who was it? Walsh or whoever took your
No,
medals?
It was Jim Fossil.
No, Jim Fossil.
Right. You should have Jim Fossil. Yeah. Great day.
Right. Hey, thanks.
Drinking it.
Welcome to Gillette. While you're here, make sure you get
You got to get a Dells.
Right. We never did talk about it, I don't think.
The Dells?
No. Did you guys talk about that the the tour we got of the new facility?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I think we talked about that.
I was.
Yeah. You weren't here?
He wasn't here.
Oh, I saw the tour. That was the last day I was here.
Oh, okay. I wasn't here. I was getting ready for the party.
We talked about
the tour if you haven't had the tour.
I didn't talk about it.
We talked about it. We talked about it. Me and
Eric
Paul
and
with Fred.
Oh.
I know that you haven't been here forever, but other people have periodically worked the last couple of weeks.
Not well, according to what I'm hearing on Twitter.
No, that's not what the numbers say.
That's true. That Wiki was out.
Record numbers.
Yep.
Thanks to nipples.
All right. So
thankfully not yours.
We're talking Patriots for the next 2 hours. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 855-PATS-500. Toll free. Way to call us. And news yesterday, some Patriots news. Armin Armstead finally put an end to the speculation, and he retired.
Yeah.
This is a big disappointment for you.
It is.
Because you were a big fan of his. Arm and Hammer and everything.
This is unbelievable how you could turn this on
him. I know.
It's unbelievable.
But it's not even worth
21st ranked player at this very time last year.
It's so disappointing. It is disappointing.
This is a guy that I think theoretically could have helped this football team, but we'll never know.
No. Nope.
Because he never got a chance to showcase whatever potential he did have.
Yeah, and we still don't know what the illness was.
Nope, and we don't know if it's heart-related. Yep. Now, I told you earlier, I have the assumption it is somehow related to the heart, and I think this is almost a step in his legal campaign to win that lawsuit that he's in L.A. against, and, you know, probably to sort of, you know, put the nail in his own coffin, gives him a better chance to win that lawsuit. Mm. See what I lost?
Right. Yeah.
You know, Pete Carroll says I was going to be a first-round pick, and because of the medical staff, the tour, it all, whatever, my career is over at age 23, and I'm a has-been. So right. I think some of this plays into that legal. I also found it interesting that he wasn't quoted in the statement. Only Bill Belichick was quoted in the statement. Ooh, and he praised him to
surprised at all that there was a quote from either side.
Well, when was the last time?
Maybe Mike Reese had a comment from him at some point.
He had a press conference.
Bill?
When was that?
He mentioned him.
The end of
minicamp, OTAs? One of those.
Was that a press conference that he went on? Because it was virtually the same as this statement.
Well, I actually wondered.
I thought it was Mike Reese.
No. He said it in a press conference, and I thought it very strange.
Okay. Well, that was. Then you're right. Then that's when he.
Well, that's where we all said, you know, he must really have a lot of sympathy for this guy.
The end is here. We knew that, and that was it.
Yeah.
We had the story that Andy talked about from Mark Daniels in the Providence Journal, that sort of talked about some of these lawsuits that Andy alluded to that's not cleared up, and then Bill had that talk about how he's done everything we've asked of him, and he's gone through more adversity than most players. Same exact phraseology.
Well, did they take it from that, maybe?
Maybe. It was the same phraseology as that quote.
But that made me wonder, maybe Bill told him, you know, you might make the team. You know, you have your hurdles to get past. You might make the team. You might be here for a year or two. But this ruined your life, and maybe retiring's the right thing to do, and you win this lawsuit because you were effed over by that whatever. Maybe that's kind of how this plays out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where do you think the infection last year? Do you think that's totally unrelated?
That's the big mystery to me.
I don't even know if it was an infection.
We don't know for a fact.
They said so in the press release.
But a team that never offers up anything offered that up.
Now, that might be a red flag. The team that never offers anything up all of a sudden offered something up.
But could he have had a heart infection?
I don't know. That's why I was asking.
That was
a question.
Although I do want to say, you know, everybody jokes like we never saw him. Did he even exist?
We did see him.
He was here last spring, and he was here at the end of the year in the locker room all the time.
Yeah.
He just wouldn't talk because he, didn't have a role.
Yeah.
And
during the spring camps last year,
he was a very nice man who
sold
me on himself.
Yeah, took part.
That's when I kind of fell in love with him, and the combination of what Pete said, he existed. He was here. We just never saw him play on the field.
I know it's this big, oh, he's like the Bigfoot and the Yeti. There's no confirmation.
No, he was here.
He was here. He played. He's spring practice.
Angry man.
Every opportunity to go at the media.
I call him Magic now.
Yeah.
Magic sings that song, Why You Gotta Be So Rude.
I didn't.
So Andy is now known by me as Magic.
What is I didn't
Magic
mean?
Johnson sings?
No.
He
no,
just told you Magic sings that
Magic.
Song.
There's a group
called Magic.
Magic.
Yeah. Reggae.
It's a reggae group.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they
never
sing,
heard that song?
Why You Gotta Be So Rude.
No.
Kevin, why don't you play that for us?
I thought that was Taylor
Swift.
He's on the phone.
We'll get fired later.
It's a totally different song, but the first time I was like, hey, you stole that from Taylor Swift.
Right.
But that
Taylor
was mean.
Taylor Swift has a
But
why
it has
you gotta
the same
be so
float.
Rude?
No, mean, I think.
Yeah.
Why You Gotta Be So Mean.
Yeah.
No, I don't know it. That's
you
not
would.
Like me not to know
you
a Taylor
know
Swift
You would know it if you
song.
Heard it, because it was big.
Because I hear that crap all the time.
So... All right, what else do we have in terms of Patriots news? I saw there was a poll on NFL.com. Who do you think is the best active coach? Bill Belichick winning by a landslide, although he's got 45% of the vote, and they give like six other choices. So if you add up all the other choices, including other, 55% of the people think someone else besides Bill Belichick.
But he's got the plurality.
He's got the plurality, yes.
Yeah, that may, why would you add those up?
Well, just to see, you know, of all the people voting.
But people aren't really picking guys, like, I'm guessing all Ravens fans might have picked Harbaugh.
Right.
And all Niners fans, anybody who had a shot in hell to pick their own guy probably picks their own guy.
Unless their own guy is someone they don't really care for.
No, but that's why I said a shot in hell. If you have, you know, Seattle picked Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even though they probably, if you really, you know, your style, held a knife to their throat or their girlfriend or whatever, would say, yeah, Bill's probably a better coach.
Yeah, the choices were Bill, Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and then other.
How many votes did other get?
18%.
And what about the other ones you mentioned?
Carroll got 17%. Okay. Harbaugh 11. Hmm. Sean Payton 9, and 18 for other.
Wait, which Harbaugh is it?
Jim. And then Bill Belichick got 45%.
Funny, 1 year you missed the playoffs in his entire career.
Right,
first time ever.
Why is he not on the list?
He's out.
John,
I think both Harbaugh should be there.
I think both should be there too.
Yeah, he wasn't offered. He
I wouldn't vote for him,
more.
But
yeah,
no,
I think they're in the consideration.
Belichick is the answer.
I think he went down a notch a little about, you know, the whole talk about going to another team and not being happy in San Francisco and all that stuff.
That's Jim.
That's Jim. He's on there.
He's on the list.
Okay. Never mind. I always get them mixed up.
I'm going to break Fred Brack in slowly.
You think Jim went down a notch with all that? Yeah.
Apparently not. He's still ahead of John.
Right, yeah.
So,
Fred, is the point you're trying to make with these polls that most of the people didn't think it was Belichick?
No, I just...
Because 55% said something other than Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, probably Andy's right, or Eric, whoever said it, you know, you're going to vote for your guy.
Right.
You know, your guy. So that, but I think that if you couldn't vote for your own guy, you had to vote for somebody else, I think Belichick would win in a landslide.
I don't think he'd be above 50%
in
that case.
Yeah.
He did.
Because I think if
he
couldn't
get
vote
more
for your
than,
own.
Yeah.
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 We didn't. We do this all the time, but who would you pick other than Belichick?
I would probably go with John.
John Harbaugh?
Yeah.
I like the Harbaughs.
And that's the Ravens one?
Yeah. I would go with. Yeah.
And I'm run?
Yeah. He's the Ravens? Right. I would agree with you because I think both Harbaughs are very good coaches, X's and O coaches, and I think John has the
Peyton's pretty
touch with his team, the personality, the
right,
you know, the total
you can,
package
you can
to
make
relate
an
and communicate
for Andy Reid.
Andy Reid's a good coach,
yeah,
no doubt.
You know,
longevity, there.
Not just longevity, but consistent winning.
I think
longevity.
He's a good coach, not a great coach.
Yeah. I also have my questions about him sealing the deal.
I have my questions about his whole game management, and I think that's a big part of coaching in the NFL in terms of the clock. Sean Payton's a good coach,
I kind
too.
Of forgot him a little. Payton and Harbaugh would be my choices.
Going back to Armstead, James in the Cube just emailed me. According to – this is from a Providence Journal article yesterday. According to his lawyer, he had blood clotting issues.
Mm-hmm.
So –
yeah, that was Mark. The stuff that Andy talked about with Mark Daniels.
Yeah,
with
he's
the
been on this story.
At the Providence Journal now, and he must know some medical, or I don't know. Maybe he just did a little bit more research than most of the
other
guys.
I think that's all
did.
It is.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, most people just does he even exist?
Right.
You just gotta keep hammering away at the poor fans.
So. No.
No, the media.
I'm media. Not the fans, mind you. There's plenty of media. It doesn't even exist.
Well, I'm all for the media bashing, as you all know.
Okay. All right. Players will start trickling in next week at various times. Practice opens to the public on the 24th.
Yep, Thursday.
Week from Thursday.
Every sentence
today.
Ends with a question mark.
Practice starts at 9 o'clock.
Yep. Every season starts at 10.
So we're all excited about that. The conditioning run will be Wednesday, we assume, the day before.
For the
is
vets,
it,
yeah.
is for it for the veterans, rookies yeah. on Sunday?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I believe.
Yeah, they,
think so?
Yeah, come trickling in.
So this weekend,
guys,
you'll start to have
guys that are injured and rookies, right. guys that yep. are on programs. And you know.
New guys sometimes. Yeah. What I'm wondering now, you know how we have the break-in period with training camp? With,
yeah.
Is it two?
2 days, I believe.
2 days out of pads. Why don't they do that? You know how I always say, do special teams on your own time. Why don't they do that before they allow anybody to come in and watch?
I don't know. CBA related? I assume it's CBA/PFWA melding of rules.
Probably a PFWA nonsense again. Once again, the media. They kill you.
Okay,
I mean,
Paul.
We just watched like 10 of these.
But they'll
now
have jerseys on
now,
you've
got to watch two more. Yeah. You know?
They'll have jerseys on now, mind you, I think.
With numbers.
With numbers,
yes.
Because they did have jerseys on.
You're willing to make assumptions that I'm not.
I'm just going by recent history.
Yeah, I've never had a training camp where they didn't have numbers.
We never had an OTA when they didn't have numbers until 3 years ago when they didn't have numbers. You never know.
Right, but this is training camp.
Right, and it's three. We have 3 years of track record.
Could you imagine the human cry?
Well, I don't think it'll be allowed.
I don't think it would be allowed.
Yeah.
I think somebody
really
would.
Do I think they're going to have numbers? Yes, but we could have had this same argument heading into the first spring that we didn't have numbers.
That's true.
We've never not had numbers before.
No, but there was the difference is in training camp, I don't think it would be allowed by the league, the PFWA. I think it would be...
I just said that. I think they'll have numbers. I agree.
Okay. Well, to me, training camp and the spring are two very distinct
things. Very different things. Yeah.
Okay.
The spring is nothing. This is like...
I agree.
Something.
What is it?
Ish. Something ish.
Training camp.
But what is it?
I mean, like, why? You allow fans in. For a while, people were charging.
You don't have to.
No, I know, but everybody does. It's this is an event.
Right.
The spring is, they used to call it passing camp, then it became OTAs.
Right. And they barely allowed media back in the day.
But you hit the nail on the head, Andy. It's all PFWA nonsense. We shouldn't be allowed to go to the stuff in the spring. But they demanded that we had to have X amount of access because, I mean, I agree with you.
See, I think we should be allowed to go to the stuff in the spring.
The passing camp that they do, that should be stuff that they just do. They shouldn't have to have media access to all that stuff. I agree with them on that.
Yeah, I think that should be media.
One point. Why?
To fill out content.
Okay. I don't think that should be the football team's responsibility.
No, but it's the league's responsibility, and they create the money for the football team. Our TV contracts, our website, all these multi-millions of dollars that all these players and coaches enjoy the fruits of, but they don't want any of the pain that comes with it.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I mean, I see your point. I do. I see your point.
I don't agree with it,
but I see it.
Smaller example of my Bill Belichick argument. He just wants to coach. Well, that's fine. Go coach somewhere.
Yeah,
if you're going to coach in the multi-billion dollar league,
that's the
you'll
part
do
of your
as
point.
We tell you to do.
That's the part of your point I see. I just don't agree with it. That's all.
Well, you and Bill Belichick often think alike. I've often compared you two. You have a lot of similarities.
We are both at the top of our professions. I agree.
Having a little trouble loading email.
You're having a little trouble doing a lot more than just that.
Now it's back up. Good.
No wonder fans didn't miss you last week.
All right. What else besides Arm and Armstead, the poll that we just talked about?
Very cool photo gallery coming out soon on Patriots.com.
Oh, the...
We got a little snippet from Mike Haku today.
Yes. Why don't you explain it?
Current Patriots with their past selves. So photos, mm-hmm. he tweeted out an example.
Manipulated photos. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, somewhat. Just kind of placed... in an interesting manner, but he put out a photo of like
placed.
Julian Edelman at Kent State in his mm-hmm. uniform, holding hands with Julian Edelman in a Patriots uniform.
Yeah. Tom Brady giving the rabbit ears
right,
to
Tom Brady circa 01 or something. So, you know, there's a Belichick, you know, a bunch of different opportunities.
Yeah. It's fun.
I was watching one of the America's games the other day. I think it was the 01, 2001, and he just looks so different, Brady. Yeah, remember he had the, you know, kind of the buzz cut?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, he's like a totally different, I don't know if that's the picture that they have for
pretty
Brady.
Pretty close to that time.
Well, it's one of the, I'm guessing he has the old San Francisco Giants hat on backwards that he used to wear in this picture.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone's looking at me.
You're the host. You're supposed to direct this damn ship. You know when the players get in the huddle and they look to Brady? He doesn't just look back with a dumb blank face.
Fred, what's the matter?
Are you okay?
Little house cleaning. Last show or two shows ago, we were talking about the new ticket pricing system that the Patriots have. Tim in Westerly, Rhode Island, he says, thank you again for the Dunkin' Donuts mention with the iced coffee remarks. On another note, did you give a lot of – oh, that was today. That was me. Andy Hart mentioned the new pricing system with games this year. He seemed to think that it is not a big deal to season ticket holders. Speaking as a longtime season ticket holder, it was a big deal. I hardly ever go to exhibition games, and yes, Andy, I do give them away.
You should.
Although I thought it was over the top to criticize those who may try to get their money back by selling them. If I am unable to go to a game, I put my tickets up on exchange, and depending on the game I put up, I can now receive more value for them. The exhibition games did not even have the option to go on the exchange. You should ask other season ticket holders their opinion. I believe they would agree that it was a very good move. I do love the show and hope to see you out in San Diego as I'm making the trip out there for the game this year.
I agree it was a very good move. It's why I came up with it about 6 years ago.
Oh, you did.
I did.
Yeah. We actually did talk about it on this show.
About 6 years ago.
Yeah, we did, and then moving the price. Yeah, we did.
I mean, you're basically just moving the same amount of money around.
Right.
It's all, you know, it's a little shell game. You're moving the money around, but it's all the same money.
Yeah.
And I do think people that sell their preseason tickets, you should be giving them to somebody.
Well, if... I would
especially
say that,
now that they're only you're taking if, a is it like $57 or
what
something?
If you're selling to someone you don't know?
Well, that I'm a little more okay with, but
My guess is you know somebody who'd like to go to a Patriots game who hasn't been, a kid, anybody. Big brother, big sister.
It's a tough one.
It is.
It's a tough one to get rid of.
You can find somebody who's never been.
Well, when
like,
you give them away, you can, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I have a hard time.
I have a hard time giving them away.
Because we've been giving them away
for
2 decades.
You run with a tough crowd.
The preseason games, Fred?
Yeah.
I have a hard time giving them away.
But not really. If you really tried, you wouldn't. Like, if you called your local Y and said, you think there's any kid who would like to go with his dad, they would scoop him up.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's a good
The problem is, you yes, in your circle,
right.
It's
well,
more difficult.
That's, I mean, let's face it, you don't...
Well, I just thought you could be charitable and be a nice guy.
Yeah, I know, because I don't give away the other 8 regular season games to charity, I know. But anyway...
It's so easy to get.
I end up taking a hit on them based on the tax implications, but that's okay.
Right.
You know, Mr. Charity over there. I don't, yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't put out a lot of, I don't spend a lot of man hours trying to find people to take, you know, I ask a couple of people in the, you know, and generally no one wants the preseason.
You should build
games.
Your own website, Paul, and then offer them the website and people can fill out forms.
Taking more of a hit.
I can't even log on to the computer. I was going to build a website.
All right. Anything else before we get to the calls and emails that you want to talk about? Anything at all? RG3 was mentioning that he's a little concerned about these Thursday night games. You know,
sharing our concern about how bad the play is, or
not necessarily the quality of play, but safety of the players. You know, most players feel they need a little bit longer to recover. But
yep.
Then again, he said, we look at it also as
a longer
an extended
weekend.
Bye for the next week. So
for every short week, there's a long week.
You know,
yeah,
I agree with him. I don't really care for Sunday, Thursday turnaround.
I don't like Thursday games.
I have no problem with Thursday games. I think it should come out of a bye. I think the schedule needs to be massaged a little and figure out how to
figure it out.
Sunday to Thursday is not appropriate.
No. Yeah,
if you come out of a bye,
right.
Yeah, I guess.
And that's
so.
Your
yeah.
game for that right. weekend.
Then you play, and then you have 10 days
to come back,
and then you're back to regular. Yeah. And I gotta think there's a way to work it so you can do that for every Thursday game.
Put a man on the moon.
That would require 2 victory laps around the.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the sweat right. that would go into the schedule
right.
announcement?
I also don't think they need a Thursday night game every week.
I agree
but
with
they
that.
Can sell
but clearly,
it.
you know,
that horse is out of the barn.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking at the money. It probably isn't going to end here. A couple of years is probably going to be more.
Right, and that's
Saturdays,
why Mark Cuban was right.
Whatever else, you know. They look at it as it's a never-ending.
By the way, interesting you mentioned
supply.
Mark Cuban in that comment that he had about the NFL.
Pigs get fat and then they get slaughtered.
Brian Rolapp, who was the COO, said that
he's a kook guy.
Mark Cuban is actually asking the exact right questions, and he said those are the exact questions we ask ourselves whenever we think of these
oversaturation
things.
And those types of things.
You know, so he said those are the questions that should be asked. Anytime.
Hogs get fat and then they die.
You know, anytime he felt confident Rolapp did that, you know, they're not oversaturating at this point, and they're fine, so on. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Was it you?
What?
Oh, Brian. No, they're fine.
Now, Freddie, you're a big fan of Pam Oliver. Were you worked up over the Aaron Andrews ascension and the Pam Oliver demotion?
I think it's really who gives a...
Well, you love Pam Oliver.
I don't... Do I? Do I really?
There was a time.
Yeah.
You were fine.
You used to like her for certain reasons.
There was a time when, you know, the junk in the trunk was good, but, you know, it's a little bit too much now. But
Spunk.
And she does a fine job. But really,
we knew what you were going to say.
Do we care who's on the sideline, really?
No. I'd rather have Aaron Andrews because I think she's hotter.
Armin Katayan used to he used to get you some nuggets every once in a while. But the way these teams lock down on the sideline now,
he was allowed in the locker room.
There's really not much to gather out there.
Right.
And, you know, they seem obliged to go to them. Mm. You don't have to go to them. You know, if there is a game that goes by where there really is no information to be gleaned on the sideline, you don't have to go to your sideline person. There's no, I don't think, mandate that you have to have them talk a certain amount of times per game.
The problem with that, and I agree with you, but and Eric, you might be able to, you had some TV background. You know, you've done a little bit of everything. If you have something... You know, whatever it is that you budgeted in, you better use it.
Yeah. You have to justify the reason that the person is there.
You know, and the person wants to be on air, too.
You know, a shot from the blimp. Yeah. You know, if you have a blimp that day that you paid, you better use a camera shot.
Yeah,
there's also, like, the producer of the broadcast factors in, you know, time for the sideline reporter because, they have the resource, and, B, they don't want... they think that viewers or listeners will get bored hearing the same two people talk all the time. So they have to break it up by putting, all right, when we go come back from the break, let's go to the sideline reporter. They have these things sort of factored in already.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you and Paul. I think it's not necessary.
It's not. I mean, there are, you know, every once, I think you have that person down there because every once in a while, wow, I'm glad we had that person there because we wouldn't have known this had they not been. But, and I think you budget it in like that, but if you don't use them in a game, it's not a big deal. You use them coming in at halftime, coming out of halftime, pregame, you know, a sideline like, report. But, you know, I don't think you have to go to them just to say virtually nothing.
Like what? You know, when we have an injury, each team has a member of the PR staff on the sideline. They relay the information that they get from the medical staff up to the press box.
Right.
There's an announcement made in the press box so that we in the media who are there can hear it. Now, the people at home, that same message gets relayed to the broadcast booth, whatever network is doing the game. But I think for network TV purposes, it kind of makes sense to have someone down there saying, hey, I got the information right down here, and they do it for broadcast purposes.
Well, they also have
makes
eyes.
Makes more sense.
Instead of right leg questionable,
right.
You know, they were really massaging his calf, and it looks like it could be a cramp or something.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not earth-shattering news,
no,
but it's a little more.
It's a little bit more than color. Maybe we get,
yep.
You know, because you have eyes, like he said, eyes right there, and that you also have the visual of the camera.
Right.
Shooting the person,
right. Yeah.
And you can kind of see a little bit what's going on in the background. In those cases, I think it's worth it, but that doesn't necessitate having to do it every 5 minutes.
I guess the bottom line is whether it's Aaron Andrews or Pam Oliver, it doesn't matter.
Well, that I agree with. It doesn't matter because I don't think one is really differentiating themselves very much. I mean, you know, there are some that are better than others, but those two in particular I think are very similar. You can get – I mean, I understand the desire to have someone down there for what Andy said, the eyes, you know.
Yeah, but it could be a freaking intern.
Right. Well, no,
who just
not,
then tells the booth,
but I'm not even
this
talking
is what
about,
we're seeing down here.
But,
it doesn't have to be an on-air presence.
If you have someone good, I agree, but if you had someone good, someone had some sort of insight, you know, listen, Josh McDaniels just went over and he lit into the offensive line and whatever, you know, telling some sort of anecdote of what happened that you're not getting from just – having your regular announcers up in the booth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it could be something as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Tom Brady was really not happy with the play calling and that, and he let Josh McDaniels know, that's the kind of flavor I want from my sideline reporter, as opposed to, you know, the nonsense that you get.
And the questions
they set
halftime that person. Or coming out of halftime.
Or the worst is when they have the set package.
Yeah.
You know,
have to go to them, you know, after the third series, we're going to go down to Aaron Andrews,
that's very Nesson and Red Sox.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hate that.
Those are the ones that are completely useless. Now, the one interview that might get something is the one after the game, because you get someone raw,
reaction,
like Aaron Andrews did to Richard Sherman last year,
right.
Which was tremendous.
Right.
It had nothing to do with her, but it was tremendous that you got this guy.
Except the look she gave, right?
That was awesome.
Right. No, I thought she
actually
did a
good
job
with
that.
Even though I think she's not very good.
No, she didn't even drop dead.
Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. You guys are all here. I want to know what you guys think of Brady. Well, my opinion of Brady.
Okay.
When it comes out of Brady, I agree with Paul and Eric that he is slightly declining. But in my opinion, like the obvious proof is when he oversales or undersales receivers, like he did to Edelman a few times and Gronk in Houston. But with all the inaccurate throws he threw to them, you got to think that he kind of threw some inaccurate ones to Dobson and the rookies. And they may or may not look as bad to me if he doesn't have that hand thing he has. He doesn't have pressure from the O-line. He knows where his receivers are going to be and everything like that. And, like, you remember the pass he threw to Wes Welker in the Super Bowl that he dropped, that it was kind of stale? I think the ones to Edelman might look a little more like that. Like, maybe he doesn't have the hand thing so much. I think he still is great, though.
So you're saying that he was a little inaccurate, but maybe some of that inaccuracy was made to look worse because of the hand thing.
I think that's not even debatable. I mean, I think he dealt with a hand issue. If you're a quarterback and you're dealing with a hand issue, it's affecting you.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, we won't know exactly what. It's impossible to, but it affected him. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that'll be gone this year.
He had an issue, which he denied for the longest time.
Right.
And the team kind
but
of
But the cameras did not deny
exactly.
for the longest time.
And, he and his actions also.
No, I know, but we saw, very simply, he was hurt.
Right, but I mean, I'm not just saying, not just from throwing. Remember, he had the glove on it.
No, but that's what I mean. That was all documented and caught.
He had a hand issue.
We didn't need a sideline reporter. Right. That was for all to see.
Thanks, Justin, for the call. And I guess, most of you would agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Things like the hand in the O-line can, make any inaccuracy even worse.
Sure. And then the addition of a lack of comfort or familiarity with his receivers, top to bottom almost, except for Edelman. I mean, even Amendola was a new guy that he's trying to build a relationship with, mm-hmm. and then all the rookies and all that. You throw it all together, and his numbers and accuracy and things didn't look like they normally might look.
Right.
But who knows? That may change this year. The hand's healthy. He's better with Amendola and Dobson, and all of a sudden you go, guess he hasn't lost all that much.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Webradio at Patriots.com. We'll Thomas from Denmark. A thought crossed my mind after we drafted White that maybe Belichick's next two tight end set will be a two ball catching running back set with White and Vereen starting in the backfield, maybe with Gronk a tight end and or slot receiver. I think that could create some mismatches in the center of the secondary, and Belichick is famous for doing the unexpected. What do you think?
Well, it wouldn't be unexpected because they've been dabbling with that for the past 2 years. Haven't used it a ton, but in camps and off-season practices, some in games, they've been dabbling with it.
Does a two running back set create the same mismatch as a two tight end set?
In some ways, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's non-traditional receivers and pulling defenders with motion and different things into coverage that might not be comfortable.
And I actually think that if you have running backs that really move and catch the ball well, I think it's an even bigger mismatch because a lot of times you're dealing with linebackers.
Correct.
And I think what Andy says all the time in training camp is true about that drill. There are no linebackers that can win that drill.
Yeah.
That one-on-one drill, whether it's a running back against a linebacker,
mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's Patrick Willis. He's not winning. A running back is generally going to win that matchup if he has some ability.
So
if it's James Devlin against Patrick Willis, that's different.
Right.
But Shane Vereen and James White are going to win those.
But as a defensive coordinator, if you see that's going to be part of their scheme today or package, do you walk up a cornerback or a safety close to the line and have them cover them coming out of the backfield? To get a more of an even matchup, maybe.
Well, now you have
try, but
probably
now you're
an uneven
yourself.
Matchup elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How do you defend that? Yep. My question.
Well, you're putting five receivers on the field, essentially. If two of them are running backs and one is a tight end, you still have two receivers on the field. You have two, maybe three corners on the field. If you're now divvying up one of those corners on a running back, it kind of throws everything else out of whack. And I would argue, certainly with these guys, prove it to me first. It's all fun and games to say, okay, that's a bad mismatch for us on defense. I don't think there are a lot of running backs that can split out wide and then maximize that opportunity.
Right.
And even the ones we've seen that, Kevin Falk did it on occasion. He didn't do it eight times a game and dominate the game and you say, wow, that the offense went through Kevin Falk in the passing game.
Yeah, generally you're dealing with...
And you really didn't see Kevin make any catches that were contested, where he had a battle for the ball. He found space. He was open.
It's a good idea, but it's still somewhat gimmicky. And
how much is it really improving your offense?
Because
what you're basically dealing with is a lot of short catches.
Now, I would argue that Shane Vereen had the opportunity to impact it more than the normal running back last year. He just dropped a lot of them or missed a lot of them.
Right,
but he had those wheel routes and different down the field where that could have been significant to this passing attack.
And a guy like Sproles has done that.
Mm-hmm.
He has been able to get out in space and make people miss and do that kind of stuff. But in general, you're dealing with short catches. You're not dealing with a lot of big plays down the field with that. Whereas what I thought, and listen, they had two guys that played tight end that could catch the ball. They were good players. It was Gronkowski. It wasn't the scheme as much. It was Gronkowski and Hernandez were good. You had one great player and one very good one.
Right.
And
you can't insert guys to do what they
did. It didn't work with Hooman and Mulligan.
Right. Right.
It was the same scheme, but they just didn't have the same kind of skill sets. Mm. So I agree with Andy. It comes down to Can Shane Vereen make those catches when he gets down the sideline on a wheel route? He didn't last year. I think he can. I think it was just one of those things that he came back from that injury and he missed a couple and it sort of
probably
got in his
ready.
Head.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a better receiver than that.
Chris in England writes in, as a longtime listener and first-time emailer, I get the impression, as do a lot of us, that the upcoming season seems to revolve around one player, Gronk.
Yes.
We all seem to agree that barring any serious injury to Revis and maybe one or two others on defense, we are going to be a lot better. As we know, Brady will be Brady, and whilst he can stand upright, we will still continue to have a say in the later stages of postseason 12-4. However, as dominant as I admit Gronk is, can we really count on just one player to be fully fit and to contribute the whole year to bring home a fourth Lombardi? Before Andy jumps in with a loud and nonchalant yes, I'd like to hear all your thoughts. Love the show, and who's the pussy now? I don't know why that question needs to be asked at this point. But...
your mother.
So we do agree that the success of the offense depends a lot
who's the
right?
pussy now, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we saw what happened when he wasn't on the field last year, and we saw what happened even not at 100% when he came back.
And the answer to his question is no. Yes, Gronk is great, but no, there should not be such a reliance on him to carry this team. And that's where the uncertainty with all the other pass catchers
right.
comes into play. And are you built to overcome that? And that's it's a question that nobody can answer right now, because it doesn't look like you have anything definitive or reliable to fall back on.
Yeah, we just don't know.
Yeah. One of the things I find sort of ironic about it is I feel like that's one of the elements that they've really tried to stay away from throughout this whole run of excellence, is the reliance on one particular guy. How many times have we heard people talk about their desire to have, you know, the salary cap sort of spread out? They don't want the star. You know, early in the run, it was the Colts who had, you know, Manning and Harrison and Wayne. You know, you couldn't win that way. Well, now we're kind of structured in a way that I agree with Andy. To me, I agree the way you said it. You can't answer it now because the season hasn't started yet. But if you're asking me, gun to my head, no, I don't think they can win if Gronkowski's not a part of it. I don't think they'll have a good enough offense.
Well,
to win.
They'll get to the playoffs and they'll
The 12-4.
What
is all
happens
that,
when you come up against the good defense?
Somebody who
that's
is,
what it's all
somebody
about.
Somebody who's going to take something else away from.
They've already proven they can win without Gronk.
Yeah.
But when you get into the playoffs, right. that's the different story.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, you know? They haven't proven they can beat good teams without Gronk.
Right,
right. And I agree, it's not just what happens when you come up against the good defenses. It's what happens when you come up against good offenses.
Right, when you got to score. And you know you
have
to
score.
Right.
You know, that's the thing that I would be worried about. And I don't think that the offense is built to be able to, you know, put up 35 without Gronk.
Without Gronk.
And part of the problem, like you said, they're built that way, but they're sort of not.
No, they're not. But they still have that one. Because I agree with you. I think their philosophy, I think they've really worked hard to get away from that. The guy is just so good.
No, but I'm
he
also saying.
He's been so good and so productive.
You
that
have
they,
a $30 million receiver. He's just not that good.
Yeah.
So
true.
You have a guy who is being paid like a playmaker,
mm-hmm.
right? He's but just he's not a playmaker. Not a play-
That's a well, good he hadn't point. Been, yeah.
It's not necessarily a cap thing. It's a talent thing. Your investment was a little off, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they also wanted, and we don't have to sit here and continue to, you know, for the second year cry over it, but they also had another guy that they thought was going to supplement him, and he's no longer part of the equation. And
not right. only that, he's counting for $7.5 million on
well,
your cap.
Yeah, but
so,
that's part of the
you know, if you had a $7.5 million player,
mm-hmm.
you'd be better.
Yeah,
in all likelihood,
or even yeah. if you had,
two,
if you use that, yeah,
$2-3 million
players.
Right.
Well, then I wonder because the track record of bringing in these
then we
free agents,
James Sanders
wide receivers
and Brandon
at that price hasn't really worked out that well.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know where I stand on this, and you know, a lot of the arguing on the other side where I was against you was just that. You know, I'll take the player like Gronkowski because mm-hmm. I think he makes a difference.
I also think that
I don't think the $2-3 million player makes that much of a difference.
I also think they are in the same boat, and I said this on a previous show with on the defensive side with Revis. If he's out there, they're a much better defense. If he's not out there, they're basically the defense you've had the last few years.
With the hope that Jones is better, Collins is better, Hightower's better, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I kind of agree with you. I think the potential of this defense, not the potential, the floor of this defense, I think, is being overrated. I think the ceiling is probably pretty accurate. I think if they reach their potential and Revis is the elite Revis and Browner is a borderline number one corner who's your number two and McCourty lives up to his reputation and Collins, the ceiling is massively high. I think the ceiling is very good defense. I'm not sure the floor is as high as a lot of people think it is. I think the floor is you might struggle.
Mm-hmm. Like we've seen.
Yeah.
The floor is a continuation of what you've had.
Basically. Mm. Which, okay, so we're 10th in points. Woohoo. Were you good enough? No, you weren't.
Couldn't stop the Broncos offense.
Right.
And we should, just talking about different things that, you know, you mentioned the Belichick poll. I saw something that Mike Reese had that he participated in with a guy from Seattle. I don't know if you, did you see this on his blog yesterday? It was talking about Brandon Browner, because that's what brought it to my memory. And the guy from Seattle, whose name is escaping me, I'm sure one of our listeners will remember.
Sando.
No.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. Said that he likes Brandon Browner a lot. He thinks he's a very good player, and the Patriots, he thinks, you know, have one of the strongest secondaries now with him. But there is absolutely no way that he would have started for Seattle. He would not have started over Maxwell. That's why Seattle let him go, which is sort of the thing that I've been harping on all offseason. Why was Seattle so hot to let him go? He lost his job early in the year, not due to suspension. He got hurt, and then the other guy played better than him, and he couldn't get his job back. Then he got suspended. So that's just one thing to keep in mind with this whole Brandon Browner transformation thing. To me, it's much different without Revis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's you have one other cornerback who is pretty – you have another good cornerback with Browner. You have the guy with Revis, and then you add Browner.
Well, I wonder – let's go back in time when they still had Tlaib, but the question was, are they going to re-sign him? And everything was, you can't lose this guy.
Well, right. what if, you know? Because you needed that guy.
Right.
We were just talking about the $7.5 million in dead cap space. What if they had that and were able, do you think they would have been able to get Revis and keep Tlaib and then have two viable number one corners on your defense?
Perhaps.
They could have.
I doubt that they would have spent so much in that one area.
Yeah, I don't think that's something they would have wanted to do, but you could have done that. Andy made a point on Tuesday about Andre Johnson. We were talking about trading for Andre Johnson. What did you say? Dan Conley.
Just cut Dan Conley.
If you just wanted to make one quick move, you could fit him in. And had they wanted to do that even now,
you could do it.
Yeah. It's whatever you choose to do, but I agree with Fred. I don't think that they probably would have done all of that resources in one position like that.
Cody's in Illinois. I'm not very familiar with the ins and outs of the retirement process in the NFL, but is there a chance that the team knew Armstead was going to retire, and instead of cutting a player to make room for a free agent like Keller or Finley, is it Finley?
Jermichael Finley.
Jermichael. Yes. They just waited for him to retire and will soon sign another player. And will his retirement raise the Patriots' cap room? Well, he wasn't making a lot of money, so
I'm guessing he has a little dead money.
Yeah. $250,000.
And I think they had a slot. If they had wanted to bring in Keller or Finley, they could have done that.
Yeah, totally unrelated.
Yeah, yeah.
You might end up being right. You might end up seeing Finley or somebody.
Well, they have a roster spot now.
Yeah, they have a roster spot. So they might sign somebody, but it's not related to – they did not sign someone prior to this because of they knew Armstead's spot was going to open up. They could have cut, believe me, any number of players to make room for a veteran tight end.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Charlotta, feel bad for Armstead, a.k.a. Arm and Hammer, that he never got to play in the NFL, and hearing what Belichick had to say about him makes it in some ways even worse. Read an article on NFL.com about how some players find playing on Thursday nights tough with the schedule and such. Imagine what they think about an 18-game schedule. I can't for the life of me fathom any fan that would want that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I always want to see the best product on the field. Hence, injuries, regardless of team, is devastating. And with an 18-game season, the injuries would most likely rise. And what kind of product would you then display come the playoffs going into the Super Bowl? I don't get it. Well, I think that's the argument against it in a nutshell.
Right.
Right.
But a lot of fans want to see it.
You know, we don't want.
Rodge says.
You know, the last thing we want are, you know, to happen in the NFL what happens in the other sports where you start resting guys for the playoffs, you know, with mid-season breaks and things like that. You don't want them. You want it to be every game is critically important.
Well, but it's even worse because now you have in other sports you can kind of manage it and,
right,
and know you're going to be in the postseason. Now you're balancing it with the importance of a game in a shortened schedule. With yeah, I need him for now. It's even more unfair in my opinion. But doesn't matter. It's all about the you know, Johnny Football knows it. He says it best.
Yeah.
Puts those fingers and rubs them.
Nick,
I
or
just
Manziel or whatever. Drake. No, that's what Drake called him.
Oh,
in his hilarity ensued.
I didn't know if he was changing. The you know, one of the latest guy to change his name when he got to the pros.
It's just a terrible host of a terrible show.
I just want to see the. You know, I agree with Michelle's point because I just want to see the best players as healthy as possible when the playoffs come around.
Right,
but you know, for that is 16 the best?
I don't know.
Is 14 the best?
I don't know. It went from 14 to 16.
Right.
I don't know. Now, they did used to play 6 preseason games, so
right,
they went from 14, and I know they've talked about eliminating some of the preseason games.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
It's not the same because back then they played in the preseason games.
Did they?
Yes.
Yeah. They got in shape by playing in preseason games.
Now, you're just taking 2 games that the frontline guys play sparingly at best, and you're eliminating them. So that's not really cutting back on the wear and tear. But, you know, did anybody like the year that Tom Brady didn't play? I mean, even outside of New England, I mean, yeah,
Matt
okay,
Castle.
You might have looked
Killed
at him and said, you know, if you were a Patriot hater, you'd say, oh, yeah, it's about time. You know, we didn't need them in the playoffs again because it's so. But did anybody really like that? Did anybody really like the year that Peyton Manning didn't play? Again, aside from the snide.
Fred, did you want to answer that?
No, don't worry. That's going to happen this year.
I want those guys healthy in the playoffs. I want to watch the best teams play with the best players. Last year, even, you know, Andy and I got at it the other day about, I mean, every team's going to lose, you know, X amount of good players. It happens every year. So adding more games is only going to add to the amount of those guys that aren't going to be available in January.
And Thursday is an issue. It's not so much acute injuries, but repetitive injuries. You know, if you have a hammy you pull on one Sunday, and maybe you force it to play in that Thursday and make the injury worse, and now you're missing a month or a month and a half, you know.
And
I don't think ACLs are going to go up because you played on a Sunday and a Thursday, but some of those other things will become an issue.
And the more
wear down.
The more games you add, the more you increase the chance that a game at the end of the season won't matter because it'll allow a team to extend their lead mathematically to a point where they've clinched it.
I agree with that. That part doesn't bother me as much as it does you, but I definitely agree. The more game, that's why those other sports are able to do that.
Right. You can mathematically clinch and, you know. Nick is comfortably in Victoria, British Columbia. Now that we know.
Too bad for you. Tell her to tighten up a little.
Wow.
It's a country, British, you know, Victoria.
So what do they call that on those commercials on the radio? Vaginal reproduction or something?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what
rejuvenation. You've never heard those?
I don't know what TV he watches either.
No. It's like so.
You watching the Golden Girls?
It's spa, and it's called vaginal rejuvenation. Vaginal rejuvenation. You've never heard those commercials?
No. I guess, you know, I'm not watching shows that target that.
It's on the radio, too. It's on the radio, too.
Or again.
No, you just listen to shows about guys sticking their penis up other guys' butts and pulling out stuff. Your Howard Stern crap.
No, we ruined this for you because you were doing very well, but Eric and I are laughing. So
right.
Now we're just going to wail away.
Nick says, now that we know Forbes has the Patriots listed as the number 8 of the wealthiest franchises in sports, can we get some of that money to bring back the music that used to be played before the show?
I thought we had a new library or something.
8 p.m.
Yeah. Does that not open up opportunities to play more music?
Kevin probably hasn't had a chance to go through it yet. So.
Can he hear us if we make fun of him right now?
I don't think he's there, is he?
He's delivering your food.
Oh, okay, good.
I didn't see that Forbes list, did you?
I didn't.
Patriots
tops?
Number 8. It was
Manchester
one of the
United.
EPL team. Wasn't Manchester United?
Really?
They were number 2 or
was
3.
Was it City?
Manchester City.
Chelsea?
Might have been Chelsea. I'm not sure. But there were 3, you know, EPL
Chelsea.
Teams.
Yep.
Cowboys were 4.
Okay.
After them,
and Yankees.
Yankees probably.
Yankees were 5 or 6. We were eight.
Redskins, Cowboys.
Redskins were up there.
Yeah, right?
Redskins, Cowboys. I think we were third among NFL teams.
I think we were sixth that's last year, I believe.
Yeah. And that's a draw. I believe we had toppled the Redskins last
year.
Yeah,
we were 1.8 million.
Are you sure? Like Real Madrid and Barcelona
That's a key
weren't?
Letter.
Oh, they might have been. Yeah.
With a B, right?
Yeah, they may not have been EPL teams.
Okay, just soccer.
But, yeah, the top team was like over 3 billion.
See, but again.
It's probably Barca or Real.
We're 1.8 billion, but the Clippers are 2 billion.
Well, that one was a weird one. That was like a fire sale where I'm just going to blow him away with a price and he can't say no. You know?
Right, because I'm sure the Clippers didn't make it into the top 10.
Right.
No, and that's my point. These are kind of useless.
They are useless. They really are.
I always use my baseball card thing. I mean, the magazine tells you worth something. No, no, no. The value is somebody willing
to pay. Yeah, no one's going into a negotiation and say, well, Forbes says we're worth
this.
That's meaningless to these bankers.
And especially in this business where emotion plays some role in it. These guys that want to be an owner so bad or their lifelong
dream. And that's where I think Ballmer came in from Microsoft who bought or is trying to buy the Clippers.
Wasn't that part of it with Robert?
Right.
How badly he wanted to be an owner. He overpaid.
A quote-unquote stupid amount for it.
At the time, $170 million was the most ever
who's
paid
the idiot now?
For an NFL team.
Who's the idiot now?
Right. Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
What's up? You slowing it down a little bit today?
Yep. Heading to Michigan. Then head to Laredo after that.
Oh.
But,
what are you hauling?
What I'm hauling? Car parts.
Oh, car parts.
And,
legal or illegal?
Legally. Ain't no damn illegal.
So what do you got about Patriots?
Huh?
What's your Patriots topic today, du jour?
Patriots topic? I was looking at NFL Network the other day, and they listed out the greatest NFL coaches, and Bill Belichick is number one.
That's a travesty.
I wonder how y'all feel about that. Huh?
Huh? Yeah, he is the best coach. You disputing that because he doesn't have a good deep receiver?
No, I think he's a good. I think he's the best coach they ever had, but I think he's worse than DM. Though I'm gonna always say that. And they said three things that will stop the Patriots from making it to the playoffs. The three things that why they will make it to the playoffs. Make it, and I'm gonna let it go at that because I got to make a run. Let y'all discuss that for a minute. I hear you when I put it back on tonight.
All right, roll out.
Well, I would suggest he pick up.
Turn your mic on.
Next week, pick up the training camp preview edition of PFW because we'll have those three questions, but they'll be Super Bowl focused, not just playoff focused.
Yeah, because the only thing that keeps him from the playoffs is Tom Brady.
Right.
All right. Food's here. We're going to take a break, and my email's gone crappy again.
Oh,
so hopefully, I'll have that back by the time we get back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, it would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. So he goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took the ring.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. The gang's all here today. Kevin is in the booth. Andy, Eric, Paul, me. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails.
I need to weigh in. I haven't had the
emails,
chance.
Emails, though, are a question. Kevin, can you log me into the other email thing, not mine, because I'm having trouble connecting to web radio.
It's just you. Eric never has these problems when he's in the big chair.
No.
I need to weigh in because I've been out the whole time, but Kershapalooza 2014 was phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
The new caterer, I thought, did a phenomenal job. The steak and cheese rolls, tremendous.
Yeah.
David Silverman, our photographer, bringing shrimp cocktail from the St. Elmo's. Yep. Phenomenal.
We also did the blind taste test.
The blind taste test didn't work out all that well.
Well, I mean, we got all the ingredients for it, but
right.
Which one did you like better? First of all, I should say, the blind taste test, we got the Narragansett beer, which is called a Summer Shandy.
Yeah, Shandy, the Dell's Narragansett
right.
Shandy.
They mix Dell's lemonade with the Narragansett lager.
Common.
Was that the tall green can?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had one of those. My nephew brought them over to my house.
Did you like it?
Too sweet.
So we got that.
I could definitely find myself having like two or three of those and be like, ooh, there was alcohol.
There was alcohol. In there. Yeah. I was yelling science as you're running around the
going streaking!
And then we got a six-pack of the lager and the a carton of Dell's, and we mixed our own and tried to match up the ingredients.
So, as should be the case, they did a better job at it. My guess is they had to do a number of attempts and formulas and different things, but neither was terrible.
No.
It was fine.
Very sweet, though, as Paul pointed out.
But that's a very popular thing now, those shandies and the apple ciders are even bigger now with a bunch of different brands. But the food.
Do you remember wine coolers?
Oh, yeah. Zima.
When those
something
were big for a while.
And the Bartles and James and all those different things.
Thank you for
now
your
you got
support.
The Smirnoffs and the Twisted Smirnoffs or whatever. But that's as much as I've ever eaten, Fred. I literally thought I was going to burst. Nikki was making fun of me. She was like, if you puke in the pool, you're cleaning
right.
it up or something.
Guy goes in the pool and he's like, oh, must be something to this. Don't wait an hour before you go swimming. I've got a cramp.
I was. That's as in pain as I've ever been from eating. Like, I was ready to burst. And I think it was the ice cream sundae that put me over the top.
And that was even after TJ had left, so it wasn't because you were tired from
it. Oh, no, I wasn't even moving. And I was on the borderline of puking.
He literally jumped
that's
into
funny.
The pool, and as soon as he, got up,
hey,
to the
like
surface, he's clutching his side, and he's like, ah. Oh,
I was wondering
cramp.
If I had, burst my stomach.
So it's not a myth. You shouldn't jump in the pool right after eating.
It's also not a myth. You shouldn't eat
it's a myth.
Four plates of food and then wash it down. I mean, what I ate for just those steak and cheese things should have been a meal. But that was my precursor with four or five beers to burgers, and you had salmon.
The
you
food
had,
was tremendous, Fred.
And then you had some special high-fat ice cream that I got a big sundae of with hot chalk. I mean, I was... Ugh.
Was all that in between the time you were throwing the children over the...
No, this was after. I warmed up by throwing... Well, no, I might have had the steak and cheese.
It was
first.
Like child...
Oh, you had the steak and cheese before you threw TJ over the volleyball.
It was like child tossing when I left.
But I literally had eight of those steak and cheeses and probably 12 to 15 shrimp to start it. Before I had anything else. It's not pretty. It's probably why I put on a few pounds in the last
week. It was good time had by all, as usual, a bang-up job by Freddie.
All right, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Great.
Man, with all this food about food and food, alcohol, and at Fred's party, I'm surprised Danny didn't float a baby Ruth in the swimming pool.
Well, his wife had some concerns about what I was doing in the pool, but I was clean as could be.
All right. It sounds like a good time, but, alcohol. Oh, man. Speaking of alcohol, one thing's for damn sure. Joe Villano and Chris Jones are probably nursing the biggest hangovers of their life today after this news about Armstead retiring. I mean, I'm guessing this probably opens up a little something for the two of those guys, and I'm sure the celebration was thick in light of the news of his departure, just saving this two of their jobs, essentially, in my book. But, this, to me, seems like probably bigger news to PFW Nation than it is to the Patriots. I mean, with all the hype we've heard in here, is this really a non-story? I mean, I feel bad for the guy, I really do, but, to me, it would have been the same outcome if Jake Beckett would have retired, the way I see it, no arm, no foul. And, this is more snaps for Easley. I'm hoping that this really opens up a huge can for him. But that's it. Just had a few sentences to sound off on that. Yeah, great to see you all back in the studio. All right.
See you, Chester. That's good because he was about to turn your damn mic on.
What was going on with Chester at the end there?
I don't know. He dropped his phone.
Technical difficulties.
Who knows? Okay. Driving through a tunnel.
But, do you feel like this kind of was a big deal to anybody?
No.
No. I didn't either.
No, I mean, I find it unfortunate because I think he was talented.
Unbelievably unfortunate.
And, you know, the fact that Bill ranked him among his top three D tackles gave a little credence to that. And but at this point,
the season ended this year, he'll probably be in the top two.
Yeah, if you had him factored in to the Patriots' success, I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have. You know,
right.
He shouldn't have been on
the
radar.
I have no idea what he could have been. I understand everything. All the reasons why Andy was high on him, I get. Pete Carroll, on the record, said he would have been a first-round pick. He's a pretty good talent evaluator, number one, and more importantly, he recruited the guy at USC.
But
so he has intimate knowledge of the guy. So I think the guy was a pretty talented player. But I agree with you, Fred. We never saw him on the field. There was never any indication that he was going to do anything on the field. So
he's a non-factor.
He's a non-factor.
Yeah.
No, but it's an interesting story.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I'm waiting for now is I got to think, given the lawsuit USC, the Patriots, it's a pretty high-profile story that at some point SI or ESPN will have a feature and we'll find out. Because it's interesting to me that he goes to Canada, plays a year, fine.
Yeah.
You know, was an all-star, signs with the Patriots, fine. Well, what happened after that? Like,
fine for
did one
a
of
couple
his
of months.
Drugs, but they signed him.
Yeah.
If there was an obvious, they wouldn't have signed him.
Right.
And so did one of his drugs go wrong that, or I don't know.
I would like to find out some of those details to figure out exactly what the holdup was last year. I am intrigued by the story. I agree. I just, you know, like to make the point, you know, Chris Jones and Joe Villano. Well, I think Armin Armstead was in a group with Chris Jones and Joe Villano. They were going to have to fight for their job. What, you know,
right.
there wasn't run. Now I agree with Chester. I forgot for a second. Sorry, Chester. I agree with him that there wasn't going to be room for all of them. So now one of them's not there anymore. So, you know, obviously that helps their chances. But, you know, I didn't have – I think that Armin Armstead is probably more talented than those two guys. But entering this year, 2014, he wasn't any higher on the totem pole than the other two guys. Those two guys played last year.
No, but he was in the same group.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there's less –
less competition.
It's a two-man heat instead of a three-man heat now, whatever.
Right. And I just don't think that Armstead was, and anybody, like Fred put it perfectly, if anybody had him in the plans for this year, then they weren't paying attention to what happened over the previous year.
Even Fred had backed off on the, you know, Arm and Hammer. And when was it you wrote about him, like, in an edit letter, right, last year or something, when you were, and dubbed him Arm and Hammer?
Probably, when he first
like,
signed
you
him.
Were excited about him.
Yeah, the prospect.
Right.
As time went on, you just kind of, you know.
And the narrative was exciting. You know, this guy who was supposed to be something pretty good, he didn't get drafted, not because of talent, and then he went to Canada and had some success.
Right.
So the narrative was worth getting excited over, you know, within reason. I think some people got a little bit too excited about it, like they were getting Warren Sapp.
Right.
I don't think Fred was like that.
No. Andy was.
Andy was a little like that.
I was a little. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought they had stolen one. I thought this was going to be, you know, Bill Belichick again. He gets 6 years out of this guy. And, you know, instead of having to use a first-round pick on him, he got him as a Canadian free agent.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Antoine's
who'd have thunk
in New
that
Jersey.
The other Canadian free agent would have played more NFL games.
Hey, Antoine.
Jason Vega.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Best caller in the world right here, Antoine. How are you?
Oh, stop.
Sorry, Andy. You know it. I just read a report on Pro Football Talk. And it basically was saying about the whole Hernandez situation where somehow there's 33 pages of text amongst Bill Belichick and Aaron Hernandez. It intrigues me a little bit because even in the headline of the story, they kind of poke fun at Bill Belichick saying that, you know, from a guy that doesn't like to really, you know, make public,
Right.
He's not information. The
statements?
Right. He's not the most communicative person in public. Right?
And exactly. And then, like, you know, saying that now he has 33 pages of Texas to Aaron Hernandez, and now that's going to be turned into the defense attorney to the Aaron Hernandez trial.
Right.
I just want your outtake on it and what you think about it.
I mean, it's hard to know. You know, first, what does 33 pages mean in terms of total number of texts? We don't know. But what we do know is that the lawyers for Hernandez are trying to figure out what his state of mind is. And they've actually said that they will let the court know by a certain date whether or not they're going to use an insanity plea. So they're trying to find evidence, anything out there that, you know, can point to a state of mind for Hernandez, and hopefully for them, it's an insane state of mind. So I'm sure this is part of that. And I'm sure this isn't all they're going to be asking for. I'm sure they're going to be asking for every little thing they can. You know, any type of communication. I just spit out half my pizza. Any type of communication they can find between Hernandez and the club, employees, who knows? You know, they're going to be, you know, turning over every rock. So that's what it's all about, I assume. But beyond that, who knows?
So do you think that's what they're going for, is the crazy insanity plea?
I think they're trying to find out if they can. I think they're trying to find out if they have a shot at that.
Do you think they do?
No, I don't. I think this is just too premeditated. I think
that's how I.
Yeah, and it was over this. Now you add up the two events, it's over the span of a year.
Now, is drug-induced insanity insanity? Because the Rolling Stone report had, like,
the angel dust
was making him paranoid.
Yeah.
Does that count? How does that play in?
Well, I think it would lessen the degree of the sentence if at the time of the event he was out of his mind.
Temporary insanity,
yeah.
Maybe?
I guess. I'm just wondering.
But
I mean,
we're talking about two events now. And,
right.
You know, so.
Which, one of which may predate the
right.
supposed
right.
paranoia from the drug.
I think
they're
grasping for straws.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Well, I would just wonder, if not that, you know, what's the end game for the defense in terms of making the Patriots look bad? What are they? Let's just say, for argument's sake, none of us thinks that the Patriots hold responsibility. It's not just because we work here. I think it's common sense. I mean, you can think a guy might be troubled and whatnot, but to
That's
make the leap
the
to murder is a big leap.
Right.
Now, what I'm wondering is, let's just say, for hypothetically, all right, whatever these text messages show, that they're saying that Belichick was guilty of whatever. I mean, he knew that he was in trouble and he helped him. Okay, so legally, Bill Belichick can get in trouble, but how does that help the defense? I mean, his client still committed murder. So even if you get the Patriots in trouble because you find out they did something legally wrong, which I don't think that they're going to find, but I'm just hypothetically, what are they getting out of it?
Yeah, I don't think it's as much that as what Fred said. It's
communication.
You know,
yeah.
Aaron, you're being crazy. Like, you're out of your mind, or, you know, some implication that he's crazy. And even people around him knew he was crazy, to try to paint this picture of he was a psychopath, and that's his defense, insanity. And
yeah, I just don't. Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because in that same report, they're saying that now the league and the players association may want to look into it, because this may come as the same type of situation that Peyton Manning and Adam Gase had got into, where though you in the off season you're communicating to each other.
Right. I did read that, and yeah. That's a byproduct of this thing, that, you know, the defense goes for that, but then it gets revealed that, you know, the team was coaching players in the off season,
but we don't know until we, you know.
Yeah,
what if Aaron is instigating the conversation? You know,
that's all speculation.
What if Aaron texts him,
right,
and they're all Belichick responses?
Yeah,
he's not contacting. Is he supposed to just totally ignore the player that
right
texts him?
And even if he is contacting him, that doesn't mean he's necessarily
right.
Like, I think the Manning and Gase thing is ridiculous too. I mean, that was they appeared together. I mean, it was. Just some of this stuff needs to go with the
right.
new
it's
CBA
very
rules.
Very NCAA-ish.
Yes, that's a good analogy.
All right, Antoine, thanks for the call. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. I think it's got to be something with my computer with this email, because I can get them on my phone.
Okay.
So
well, a virus.
You know, as we stated before, and we'll continue to say, Eric had no problem in the beginning.
That's because he was on porn sites. That's why there's something wrong with the computer now.
But Raphael,
well, the only problem we had is Eric can never seem to figure out where any of the emails are from.
No, it's not me. They're not writing in there.
Raphael's writing in from Calabria.
Doesn't say where.
Italia.
Calabria. You ever hear of Calabria?
Yes, it's in the south.
Yes, Dante Calabria was a shooting guard for North Carolina in the late 90s.
Chile.
That's what we're talking about.
Oh.
He says, I'm listening to the podcast three months already. I'm currently working at my pizzeria. Can't listen to the show live. Considering that we are a huge question mark on both the offense and the defense in the terms of receivers, a D-lineman, a line of backers, tight ends, and everything, and there's nothing left to discuss before the campus start, I'm looking at a conference, a main competitor, are the Broncos, We're sure they are not as a big a question mark considering, firstly, Manning age. Do you think they will keep playing at the same level, a better or a worse? I have not been following them as much after the big FA signings, but what do you think about them?
I think that email was too long for you to continue that accent as well.
I lost you, too, because I was focusing on the accent.
He's saying, are we sure the Broncos are going to be as good as they were considering Manning's age?
No. Well, you don't think so.
Yeah.
Well,
one thing, I'm pretty
Manning.
Sure they're not going to be as good as they were. Much like I said of the Patriots in 2007, I think they had a pretty special season last year where a lot worked offensively. So my guess is offensive production comes down. Part of that will be Eric Decker. Did you know Eric Decker's second in the NFL in touchdowns the last two seasons? I believe it's Calvin Johnson with 25 and then Decker with 24, 27. And it's just
I know
like,
he had double digits in both.
It's just like
years.
One of these things just doesn't belong. Like that amazes me. But, I mean, just by the nature of the business, they lose Decker. Welker is coming off concussions, some questions there, but they're still phenomenally talented on offense. And I know Fred thinks this is Fred's now going under the computer. He's on his knees. I don't know what he's doing.
He's used to being on his knees.
Yes, no kidding. That's why PFW got started.
Wait, what?
And I know Fred thinks Manning's going to fall off the map. If that happens, yes, they are in definite trouble.
Oh.
But other than that, I think they are going to be competing for an AFC title.
Yeah. Now, I would say, and we had the call on, and I forget, I apologize, the call on Tuesday. He had the six-point plan. Remember the six-point plan of
three of which were,
Justin,
you know,
in
logical.
Virginia.
The one point that I really agreed with is, you know, they do play, and I think schedules mean a lot in the NFL because you play so few games, team schedules can vary drastically. And I think that's one. The NFC West right now is a better division than the other three divisions in the NFC. So if you're matched up with that one, that makes for four tougher games than the other three divisions.
But there's no saying you can't be the three seed and, you know, go to the AFC title.
Oh, yeah,
game.
But I'm saying in terms of, you know, I think a big deal for the Patriots would be to get seeded above Denver.
Oh, sure.
To get Denver
Huge.
Here. Because I think that totally neutralizes
that wet
Manning.
Noodle that Manning's got.
Yeah, I think it's a big issue. So
it's funny you think about that, though. I've changed so much on that. I used to, in my mind, think Denver was, like, bad in the winter. And then I came to realize all these people tell me that it can be it's very mountain affected, and you're just as
the
likely
city,
to have
mean.
A beautiful
yeah.
day in Denver in January as you are to have a bad day.
Well, just look at the
like
last.
We did.
Just look at the
no,
last.
That's
two,
my point.
Yeah.
Just look at the last 2 years.
That's
in the
my
playoffs.
Point. That's my point.
Right.
Whereas you're more consistently.
Manning.
I mean, you could same thing could be in New England. You could have 38, 40 degrees and nice weather, but right. more likely in New England you're going to get a cold, potentially
right. Damp,
windy day
windy.
In January.
Absolutely. Snowy. And you look at the last two years. They had a historically cold, bitter day to play in Manning's first playoff game in Denver
now,
against
Kevin's
Baltimore.
He's under
and last year it was balmy. I mean, it was beautiful out there when the Patriots yeah. went there. So, you know, the Patriots caught a bad break there with the weather. The weather was really nice.
Right.
And especially with the Patriots' offense, the way it sort of transformed, they didn't really benefit from the nice weather with their passing game as they would normally have over the last 5 or 6 years. They were more of a running offense going into the that playoff game last year.
And they have enough turnover, certainly on defense, where Phillips is gone. You're replacing with Ware. Tlaib's your number one corner. You've added Ward.
Harris coming off a major
don't know
injury.
Don't how all that comes together. But all that said, I think they're a lock to make the postseason if Manning's healthy. And I think they're a lock to be a contender.
Yeah, I think their defense is probably looking at itself much like the Patriots' defense is. They feel like they're probably going to be a lot better on defense, but there's no guarantee of that. When you change players, there's no guarantee that they're all going to work. I think they also drafted Bradley Roby, right, in the first
yeah.
round. So you get him and Tlaib. If you get Chris Harris back, you know, and he tore his ACL, so that's no guarantee that a cornerback is going to just come back unaffected from a torn ACL right
but
away.
But you are reporting that all signs point to him playing in week one, correct?
I have not seen any signs from Chris Harris as I have seen signs from Rob Gronkowski, which is why I felt confident Lord. In reporting that.
Kevin's spending a lot of time under Fred.
Jake from Salt Lake writes in. Sounds like you guys.
Massage of the grapes.
Sounds
like a cork.
Sounds like you guys are all in agreement that without Gronk, we're probably looking at another playoff season with no Super Bowl. So,
yes.
To my question, what with the addition of Garoppolo, who is the more important player for the season, Brady or Gronk? Do you guys?
All that. Are you okay,
Kevin?
Because that's a sharp
head.
Corner. That's going to leave a mark. He's laughing now. That's going to hurt. You're a little embarrassed, but that's going to hurt.
He's laughing because he knocked the whole console.
Kevin hit his head coming up from below.
I think it was his back.
Who's more important, Brady or Gronk? Do you guys see us going further with Garoppolo, Gronk, or Brady, no Gronk?
Further, Brady,
no Gronk.
Yeah. At this point,
Brady's still the more important guy.
But remember we had that other question that was a good one. Garoppolo with, like, everybody else is great on offense, or Brady and everybody else stinks on offense. Remember that question? Like, you get Gronk at 100%, Dobson becomes Alshon Jeffrey, Vereen is Marshall Faulk, then I take Garoppolo.
Not me.
Well, you hate Garoppolo. I mean, it's fine.
I don't hate the Italians. The kid hasn't played yet.
Wait, he is Italian.
And he hates himself. Have you seen him look in the mirror with no shirt on? He hates himself.
Oh, wow. How did it?
Oh, did we have the medical update?
No.
Are we not having that?
We don't need to have that.
Let's go to...
Every time we talk about that, I get, like, serious texts and tweets from people.
And, don't die, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I appreciate the...
That's the second time he's tried
the sentiments.
Taps. My taps aren't good?
No.
Yeah, he has something that doesn't sound... It's worse than his Giselle accent.
Let's go to...
he's really reading the emails off his phone.
I have to. Yes. Dan and Harriet is writing in. So I watched the Patriots games. He
Dan
wants to get
Harriet?
His 2 cents in on
comfortably
the...
Comfortably in Harriet. Unfortunately, Harriet's...
Now, that's
that
just
bitch is
right.
In heat.
That's just not right.
And I can call her a bitch because she's a female dog.
He wants to throw
like
in
Kirk
his
Minahan.
2 cents to the whole Brady's decline discussion. So I watched Patriots games with my very limited vision. Obviously, I'm not the best judge of how accurate Brady's passes are or when the wide receivers are wide open unless there's literally no one around them. However, I do get a certain sense of how the offense is flowing from drive to drive. From 07 to 2010, the offense moved like clockwork. Games where it took multiple drives for Brady to find a rhythm were very rare or non-existent against bad opponents. When facing a surge of rushers, he would often step directly into it with a quick release or emerge out of the pocket to throw it away. In the last 3 seasons, it just hasn't felt that way. Now it rarely feels like they could make it out of a game without stretches of offensive trouble. Brady is ducking in the pocket with as much speed as he used to release the ball against the same pressure, and almost nothing good happens when he rolls out. Now obviously the weapons and injuries are factors to consider, and it's unfair to expect him to maintain excellence this late into his career. I'd still take him over any quarterback in the league, but if the decline is obvious to me, it exists. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I agree.
Wait a minute. You did last show.
When? You weren't even here last show. We haven't done a show together for a month.
The last show I was here when we had this discussion, you agreed with Eric.
What did I agree with Eric about?
That he's declining.
Obviously he's declining, but not to that rate.
He didn't give a rate.
But he made the implication. When you say decline, like the way he's obvious to me, like.
No, he's saying if.
Do I think
if he sees a decline based on his limited vision, then clearly he's declining.
But to me, a big chunk of that is being based on last year. And there was a lot going on last year. A lot.
Well, he did say that. He said there's other things.
I need to see this year and the other 5 years after that.
And then he needs to wait 5 years after.
Here we go.
But in
Garoppolo replaces him.
I mean, you need to... I think this year is important to him. Like, for example, when you pointed out how much more zip Garoppolo has on what I would just call an average throw, whatever it was, a 12-yard throw or 15-yard throw, that's interesting. I don't know where to place that, but I do think it's interesting.
I mean, for all we know, Garoppolo is like... You know, throwing everything he has into
and afterwards
it while
his
Brady
arm
is,
hurts.
Right, And Brady's just, you know.
Right. Tom House told me to
but
do it this
that's
way.
That's a little piece you put it in the back of your mind and just kind of remember that when he didn't seem like he had quite as much zip when we were watching him in June. I think that's a part of it. But I'm not ready to say he stinks now. I'd also throw another layer in there. The part about Josh talking about, you know, we've noticed one thing, you know, working on off timing and off balance throws and when you're not, you know, perfectly set up. Clearly, they looked at that and have done a lot of practice on the practice field of that. You know, he wasn't good rolling out. He wasn't good when he was pressured. Maybe the implication is he doesn't have the footwork to completely avoid the pressure. We need to make him comfortable throwing under said pressure. You know, that might be an admission. But again, it's a little piece. We need to put this puzzle all together with the more information we have. And to do that, we need to wait until we see the other pieces come together.
He's fine. Mike in Rhode Island says, welcome back, Fred. I have a game involving the Patriots' 2014 stats. How many catches will Danny Amendola get this season? Over, under 60?
I'm going to say over. What did he have last year?
50-something?
Yeah, I'll say over.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to say under.
I'll say over.
How many catches will Julian Edelman get this season? Over, under 99?
Under.
Yeah. How many TD receptions will Rob Gronkowski get? Over, under 11?
Over.
Paul thinking.
Over. Ooh, everybody's positive. I don't want you to ever say we're negative again. We just got 12 or more touchdowns from the panel.
And you know I'm saying over. So.
Obvious.
How many rushing yards will Stephen Ridley get this season? Over, under 899?
Under.
I'm saying over.
899 rushing yards?
Big year for Stephen Ridley.
I'm going to say under.
I'll say under. Not by, you know, a lot, but under.
200.
How many rushing yards will Shane Vereen get? Over, under 499?
Over.
Under.
Over, but under. Not by much.
How many yards will Aaron Dobson have? Over, under 599?
Over.
Over.
Yeah, over.
Okay. All right.
Assuming that he's over his foot injury at some point.
He had a quote recently. He's feeling good. Did you see that?
But wouldn't commit to being ready for the start of camp.
It's amazing how we see the same quotes and just read them totally differently. Right. We talked about it a little bit on Tuesday. Oh. The fact that he wasn't willing to say he'd be ready for training camp sort of troubled the three of us. And you fixated on the, feeling good.
Armstead said he was feeling good, too.
but that's...
Then he announced his retirement.
You know, that's
Tommy Kelly
that's
last
a,
year yeah, I'm feeling he good. Went on IR.
That's then
he
Patriot went under the speak. Night. You never project what your availability would be.
If that, he was ready, he would say,
"I'll be
he's
ready."
Oh, right now, he's not.
Right.
So we
practice next Thursday. That's a little bit troubling to me.
Yeah, he's fine.
That is troubling. He has missed the entirety of the offseason, and now looks like he's going to miss.
I'm more worried about his mental being behind the eight ball than physical.
Well, it's all part of it.
Yeah, but I think
it's funny. I'm not worried about that at all.
I'm worried about the physical.
See, I think in physically, year two of his, he'll be fine.
If he was a rookie, I'd be worried.
I think mentally, he's not going to be able to catch up.
It's all part of it for me. He has to get physically healthy, and then he needs to catch up.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to
practice.
It's
the physical catch-up. He needs the rapport with Brady. He needs to be on the field running routes, catching the ball.
Dwight's in Alabama. Who do you think will have a great shot to make the team that came in as a free agent on offense and defense? I think Revis has a good chance of making the team.
He might.
Yeah.
He might
make the team.
Did he mean undrafted?
I think he probably meant undrafted.
I don't know.
I think a running back.
Steven
Houston's the guy we sort of all glommed onto. He's an undrafted rookie.
He's a big back, and they need to replace a big back.
And
he caught the ball more than you'd think of a big back in college.
And your linebacker fella from Michigan.
Yes, but no. I got nothing to go on. I'm just intrigued by him based on a look.
No, but I'm going on the fact that...
Yeah, Cameron Gordon.
I'm going on the fact
that... I know what I'm talking about. I'm usually right.
No, not at all, actually. The fact that...
Not at all.
They need bodies at linebacker, and Bill Belichick loves to take any number of undrafted rookies on his 53. Okay. So
he's got good length, athleticism, play a little special teams.
Deontay Skinner? I don't know.
I don't remember who that is.
Is it Gary Shamil or Shamil Gary?
Shamil
Gary. Gray.
Gary, I think
Gary?
It is.
I think it's Gary.
Shamil Gary. Might be Gray.
The one thing I was sure of was the word Gary. I didn't know if it was first
Shamazel.
Or last.
Yeah. Don't hold me on. I think it's Gary.
Who's Shamazel?
That's an old Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, I'm supposed to know Laverne and Shirley?
There's a thing called Nick at Night where they have
Dean
reruns
Ho and Tony Garea. Tag team guys, Chief J Strongbow.
Sure. Don Ho.
No, Dean Ho.
Dean Ho?
Chief J.
Dean Ho.
There was
and
a
Tony.
Don Ho.
Chief J Strongbow. Yeah.
Okay, but you never heard of Tony Garea?
Yeah, Tony.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was an
you
STD.
Heard of gonorrhea.
That's what I was going to
Gonorrhea.
Cody writes
his
in,
other partner.
Is there a way to make Gronk less injury prone?
No.
I was wondering if he maybe had like bad form and puts himself in harm's way, and if he could be trained to maybe break that and stay healthy.
No,
he has great form.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the
he's
question.
I don't.
Bad luck.
Well, they're talking.
I don't at all. A guy put his head right on his knee and tore his ACL.
Right.
His arm just snapped. Blocking and another guy tackled him and rolled up on his ankle. There's nothing there.
These aren't like muscle stuff.
The one thing you could argue is like the back thing, but the things that have kept him out of action mostly, like we've been led to believe that the back thing was a non-issue. It was going to be they knew they'd have to do it, but it was going to be an off-season thing. Bang, bang, boom, done. Whatever. It's these other things that have been the issue.
Yeah,
yeah. And what I was starting to say before Andy started yelling at me was a lot of times you see wide receivers, they sort of teach them to get out of harm's way.
Right.
To get down, get to the sideline. You know, there's smaller guys. That's not really appropriate with Gronkowski. You can't sit there and say the reason he, you know, I think the biggest reason he is who he is because of that just enormous force that he is. And, you know, that's the way he plays. He plays physically. And to ask him to get down after he makes a catch, I think you're asking him not to play like himself.
And to not be as good.
No.
Just flat out not be anywhere near as good.
That play against the Redskins a couple of years ago on the sideline.
Every
he broke through he's just seven tackles. I mean, that
you take the good, you take the bad. The facts of life with Rob Gronkowski.
Let's see. Dylan in South Florida writes in, hey, gents and pimps, want to know what you think they are waiting for if they are to sign another tight end, and I hope to meet you guys in Florida.
Won't meet me.
I'm more of a big, big rumperoo than a big, big balloon guy. I don't know what that means.
But. He likes big asses, not big tatas.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway.
Wasn't that hard?
I don't know. Maybe it was children's parties. I don't know.
What?
Romper
so,
room?
What are they waiting for? If they want to sign a tight end, what are they waiting for?
Maybe they're not healthy.
Maybe they don't think they need to sign a tight end.
No, I think they do. My guess is they're going to sign a tight end. I'm sticking with my Dustin Keller. It used to be after June 1st they'd sign him. Now they're going to sign him after the start
camp
of camp. They got to sign a tight end. They really can't believe that they're going to get by with that group they have. I mean, I know I wrote James Devlin's awesome, and I like James Devlin, but as Paul says, I'm not sure he's going to move the needle.
I like the things that he yells at me about on Tuesday.
Yeah,
he comes back on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I think Dustin Keller has a far greater chance to move the needle than James Devlin.
Yeah, just because I don't think either one of them are going to move the needle doesn't mean I don't think one has a better chance to.
What does move the needle stem from? Is that audio?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's move the dial, move the needle, you know, whatever that is, volume.
Like, Geiger counter.
Yeah. Make a difference.
Yeah.
James in Georgia, pick a duo to start a franchise. You can choose the age for the players, not necessarily when they played together. If you pick a non-QB duo, the QB will be Joe Average. So here's the choices.
He gets mad.
Wait a minute. Pick a duo to start a franchise.
Yeah, so here's your choices, right? Brady Moss is a duo. Moss Carter, Young Rice, Montana Rice, Lynch Sapp, Lewis Reed, Manning Harrison or Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen?
That's not fair.
Eliminate Bo Jackson.
Okay, then it's Montana Rice.
Brady Moss?
I would take Brady Moss.
I would go Montana Rice.
Okay.
The one thing that is holding me back, or one of the things that would hold me back on Brady Moss, I wasn't listening to you get them for like the entirety of their prime kind of thing?
You get to choose the age.
Yeah, well, I'd like to start at the beginning with Montana Rice.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Moss.
But, I mean, Moss
Brady is, in their primes.
Moss's issues, the way he is, would worry
right.
me. And even with Brady, I think
that,
at some point
they're
going to.
That's part of the reason that I chose.
Like, physically, I think that would be fun to watch, Brady and Moss from day one.
Because I think Moss is an even better athlete than Rice was.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, physically gifted, he's the most gifted receiver.
Rice is not the most athletic guy.
But he and Brady, or he and Montana, just fit because they're, you know, you got to catch the bricks in the offseason.
The work ethic,
all
that stuff. And then everybody always said that he wasn't a blazing fast guy, but no one ever caught him either. So.
Right. It's like me.
You just ran into people.
Exactly.
No shit.
Well, you can't say that.
Did you just?
He just said.
Paul.
He just said potty word for no reason. No reason at all.
I'm going to have you issue an apology via Twitter.
Hey, Martha Coakley not happy with you.
You know, did he apologize via Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
I probably posted it on the website.
Oh, EEI did it. Yeah.
I was all
smart,
giddy today,
get the
Fred,
out.
When I got in, I realized that he wasn't in today, and I immediately went over to Andy when I got here.
He is Kirk Minahan for our global listeners.
I think he got suspended, but evidently he had spoken the day before that he wouldn't be here.
And he, Kirk Minahan on WEEI Boston, called Erin Andrews a gutless bitch and hoped she dropped dead. And
the drop dead part really got under Andy's skin.
It is. It's stupid. It's not funny. It's not.
No, but you know what is
funny?
How mad you got about it.
I don't understand it. As I said, if he said, I hope she steps in a puddle and her wireless mic electrocutes her, the gutless bitch. Okay, that's kind of funny. You're kind of playing on what she does. Just drop dead is stupid.
Why does he want her to die?
Because he's a moron.
Really. He was just exactly.
He was on a rant and he gets ahead of himself. He doesn't have the, you know, ability to rein it in like I do. Like
Dan of Virginia. Paulie, did you see your boy Drew playing in the All-Star game to close Candlestick Park?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
I kept looking. They kept because it looked like a pretty cool game. They had a lot of people. Lawyer Malloy, I believe, also played in it.
Oh, yeah? Was it flag football?
Yeah. And, you know, it was fixed in the end, we find out. Eddie DeBartolo caught the game-winning touchdown from Montana or one of them. I didn't care for that. But they had a lot of cool players there.
Do you think Graham's deal will inflate the wide...
Eddie DeBartolo couldn't shake free of man zone.
Do you think
he was
Graham,
all mad.
Do you think Graham's deal will inflate the wide receiver market with a tight end now making the same as Brandon Marshall? Will the receivers start asking for more to stay ahead of the tight ends?
Well, Calvin Johnson has a massive contract. They're well. The elite receivers are well ahead.
There's
of
still
the
tight a big
ends.
Difference between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 years, $40 million.
Well, let's face it.
I mean, we're practically paying Amendola that.
Salaries aren't going to go backwards. So the next big guy to come up is going to up that position at whatever. I was joking about this with Andy when we were talking about Jimmy Graham. Doesn't it seem like there's like 3, 4, 5 different players at virtually every position that are the quote highest paid right now? Like depending on what you use, you know, is it average annual value? Is it signing bonus, first year money? And again, and I didn't see all the details of that contract, but they said 4 years, $40 million, 21 guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
And 21 was what he's getting in the first 2 years.
Yeah, the first six months basically.
He gets 12 to sign, one as his salary for the first year,
13 in the first year,
and an $8 million bonus on the second day of February.
So if he doesn't get that, is it not guaranteed? Like, what if they cut him? I'm asking. I'm not. This is
I believe he does. Does he get the $8 million?
I don't
believe
he does.
Because, again, is that guaranteed or not?
Not.
It doesn't seem to me to be guaranteed.
Okay.
I mean, just because it's unlikely that you would cut him after 1 year and $13 million.
It's not guaranteed in the sense.
It's not guaranteed, right?
The old, if the world ended tomorrow, would you have the money? No, he does not have that money.
So I don't
he also doesn't have a salary either, though.
I don't get that.
But it also.
No, but I'm not talking about the world ending, Andy. I'm talking about they decide to cut him. That to me is guaranteed money. He gets cut tomorrow. What does he get?
In my,
to way I read it, $13 million.
Does his salary is fully guaranteed?
Well, I would. You know, I'm talking about like during the course.
Well, you
said
tomorrow.
Whenever his season.
I'm just taking you at your word. You said tomorrow.
I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is guaranteed.
If you want to be literal? I'll be literal.
Maybe it is guaranteed. But he only got $1 million.
No, 12. The million is the salary.
Right. Okay. So he'd get $12 million.
So in our world, I think $12 million was guaranteed.
He gets $13 million this first year, and possibly another $8 million.
Now, we all understand.
But early, like not even in the next league year. It's February 3rd.
And we understand that he wouldn't get cut after they gave him a $12 million check.
Well, we also have in this day and age the guaranteed for injury or skill and or skill.
Which people don't seem to differentiate either.
Which people?
Media.
Who?
National.
You feel like you
all of them.
Want to rip somebody?
No. All-encompassing.
No one
in particular.
In particular.
All right. Everything's on the fritz here, but Kevin tells me that Todd's on from Toronto's on the line. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Top of the morning, eh?
I got some good news for you guys.
Toronto?
No. Got my 6-month test back for the cancer that PFW cured, and I am all clear.
Hey, all right. That's excellent, man.
And
congrats.
In celebration, my wife's taking me to Europe.
Oh,
wow.
Nice.
Where are you going? Where are you going exactly?
We're doing a quick tour through. We land in Paris. We go Paris, Switzerland. We have a Rhine cruise. Then
nice.
We go through Amsterdam. We end in Bruges. And then we're going to hang out for another week with some friends.
Very nice.
So you're going to show her the old Eiffel Tower? And then maybe she'll show you her Swiss Alps?
You know.
Yes, yes. I understand totally.
They're married. I think they've seen them before.
Wait a minute. You got that? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
just
totally.
Stay away from the Ukraine and Malaysian Air and any of that.
Yes. No border crossing.
Yes.
Sadly. Yeah.
Things are getting a little ugly over there.
You've got PFW looking out for you, though. You're in good shape.
I noticed that. My big question here is, and God forbid this ever happens, but my gut instinct's telling me that Dobson's done. I don't think he's going to be coming back. I think he's just...
Done for the year?
Your gut is very negative.
I think he's a glass cannon, for a lack of a better word.
I've also never heard that.
Is that
before.
A Canadian term?
Glass cannon?
Paper champion?
That makes sense. As soon as you shoot it, it breaks.
No, I like it.
Oh,
I
got it. I just never heard the term.
He said it like it was a well-known phrase,
That's
and I've
why
never
I
heard
asked
it.
If it was a Canadian term.
But I like
term.
It. I might even use it. Glass cannon.
Kind of a nerd term, but
I get the inference.
Yeah, but Eric's a nerd, and he's never heard of it.
different nerds of a feather? I don't know.
I've heard that. I'm familiar with the of a feather phrase.
Yeah, he uses it all the time.
But yeah,
I
think you're being a little overly negative with Dobson.
When in Rome.
I don't know. Every time I see him get on the field, all I see is he's...
fragile?
He's hesitant. He just does... It's almost as if he's worried about being injured. And that kind of relates back to what the guy said about Gronk. If you have Gronk play differently than Gronk plays, he'll get injured all the time because he's not playing what his body and mind should be doing. And that's what I see in Dobson. Every time he's out there, there's just... He's got that little look like this guy pushed me this way and I stepped funny, or this guy, I had to go around this guy. Or he's always got that kind of, I don't know what's going on.
He's too tentative, you think?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You made that very definitive and lasting decision on a limited sample, right?
Well,
okay, we lost
Todd. I didn't do that.
You sat down and touched the mouse and
he's gone. No, I saw him reach for something.
I thought he was giving me a sign to get rid of him.
No!
Sorry, Todd.
No, I was giving you the sign that the internet's back up.
He was flipping you the bird.
I think. Sorry about that, Todd. Call back if you want.
You glass cannon, you.
Yeah, the internet's definitely back up here, so I'm back in business.
I'm back, baby.
Lack of a better word, you're a glass cannon.
But, glass cannon.
I mean, you still have hope for Dobson, Andy?
Yes, I don't know how you could close the door on him like it feels like Todd has. I think he is the one that gives me hope. I still have hope.
I think he starts the season on PUP.
Season or the training camp?
Oh, I definitely starts the training camp. But
I agree.
I think he starts the season on PUP.
That's not good.
That would be unfortunate.
That's really not good.
That's bad news for this team, his evolution, everything.
Yeah.
But I'm going to change my answers.
Todd might be right in that case.
I'm going to change my answers to the over 599 and that kind of stuff.
If he starts the season on PUP, is he maybe have his blinker on? Taylor Price way? He hasn't turned.
That was a little no-socks-like. Right
yeah, that there. Was a little bit.
Does he got blinker on?
Blinker on?
Yeah, but we've actually talked like this before a number of times about Taylor Price way. It's a receiver. We've used the blinker term. He just throws something out of the blue out there. You know, he's a bit of a lubricated glass cannon. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Let's see. Chris from Hamilton, Ontario is writing in. Finally, the infallible foursome have gathered together to, under the ever-watchful eye of Kitschy Kevin, to grace the PFW listeners with your unbelievably X-ray-esque insight on the Patriots.
You damn skippy.
I have a fun little joke game for phenomenally fluent Fred, Captain Andy Interruptus, stupendously imperious Eric, and the paragon of practicality, Paul Perillo. If you were casting for a movie and had to cast a player/coach from the Patriots to these film roles, who would you try to cast?
I like it.
Who would be Luke Skywalker?
Oh, Brady.
That's Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
The hero.
Yeah.
Right? Who would be Batman?
I'm over here.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Gronk.
Gronk, yeah.
Really?
Eh.
I don't know.
I don't really.
Gronk would be like...
He's not dark and brooding.
No.
He would be like the funny guy.
Yeah,
like,
right. He'd be the foil to one of the superheroes. Yeah, he'd be like...
Not a foil, but he'd be one of the
comic relief.
He'd be like Iron Man. Like, you know, a guy like that has...
I like Gronk.
Yeah. The Thing.
Yeah, something like that, right.
Yeah, that's
who's
Gronk
a little
be.
Bit dark and brooding.
Right.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Be a star who's dark and brooding. Darrell Revis.
Yeah, maybe. Batman. Okay.
Right?
Who's Rudy?
Who's what?
Rudy. Who plays Rudy?
Roy Finch?
You got about 40 choices.
Yeah, I know, right?
Paul's got a list. He's taking out right now.
Rob Ninkovich? No, he's too big.
Rudy.
Edelman?
Edelman
is a possibility.
Kinda is in the running.
Yeah.
Justin Francis, he's not here anymore. Rudy.
Who's Captain?
Jeremy Gallen.
Rudy. I just don't know enough about Gallen.
Who's Captain America?
Me.
Would that be Chandler Jones, maybe?
No, I don't see that at all.
Ninko?
Okay.
Captain America. So someone who used steroids to get big.
Oh,
that's what Captain America did. The movie.
They all have something that they do. Dr. Doom.
No.
Who's Dr. Doom?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I mean
hello?
I was going to say the doctor that they canned. Darth Vader.
Oh,
Belichick.
Yeah.
He's okay. Yep.
And he's okay.
And who's Clark Kent slash Superman?
Brady.
See, now that's Brady again.
That's got to be Brady.
Yeah.
See, I think Brady's more that. What did we give him the first time?
Luke Skywalker.
Oh, wait a minute. What about Matthew Slater? Because he does wear the glasses when he takes the glasses off to play.
Yeah, but he's never Superman. No offense. Hi,
when you get him downfield.
Like he's downfield and you lose the AFC title game.
Well, maybe Slater's Clark Kent and Brady is Superman.
That's not how it's supposed to be one person.
Oh, okay.
And one's black, one's white.
Chris also says glass cannon is a gamer term, equivalent of stripping down the armor of a tank to place more weapons. In football terms, it would be best associated with Danny Amendola. So, that's a glass cannon.
Huh?
I don't know.
Okay.
James, all I know is, like, half of our most important receivers are apparently glass cannons, and it's not a good thing.
Yeah. James in D.C., for Patriots defense that's so highly rated by media and fans, there seem to be a lot of question marks.
Yes, this is a very good email.
Will Jamie Collins be able to maintain the level of excellence?
Level of excellence? What is he maintaining? You know what you need to make a straight line? 2 points. The man has a single point. Okay. He is a dot. He is a just floating around in space.
Well, can Vince get back to his old form? Is Devin McCourty really an elite safety? No one can answer those for sure now, but I'm wondering what you guys see as realistic floors and ceilings in terms of the 2014 production or impact for these three guys, and maybe Easley and Hightower if you have time.
I want to see, Andy's point, I want to see Collins at least prove that he can start.
Yeah, Collins has not hit his ceiling. Wilfork has.
Sure.
And Wilfork isn't going to get back there. But he could, get somewhere above the middle of the road.
As long as Wilfork is healthy enough to be on the field for 16 games,
he'll be productive.
He'll be productive.
But he's not he's hit his ceiling. He's peaked.
Right.
But I'd rather have him than Chris Jones Joe Villano. Right.
Absolutely. Jamie Collins hasn't even come close to his ceiling.
No, but he also...
He hasn't set the level of excellence to what Andy was saying.
You better hope he has.
Because there's a chance he can't... I mean, he had a great game. One great game.
Right.
Maybe that's his ceiling.
If he's only as good as he's been, then we're all disappointed.
Oh, God.
Yes.
So
11 games with two or fewer tackles.
Now, the McCourty one's interesting. Does McCourty need to become an elite safety? I don't think so.
He might need to if you don't have another safety.
You don't have another one.
And what does need to mean? If you want to become an elite then yes, you need guys that make plays and become elite.
If you want to be significantly better on defense, these are some of the things that are going to need to happen. Collins is going to need to be closer to what he was in that Indianapolis game.
I agree with that.
I'm not saying that he needs to do that every game, but he needs to be a facsimile of that player. And McCourty needs to be a better player than what we've seen. If they want to make a jump up to elite status,
but they need
elite players.
To me, elite is, Ronnie Lott, guys like that. Those were elite safeties. I don't think he needs to be a Hall of Famer for the Patriots to have a good
game. You can be currently elite without being a Hall of Famer.
Right. There's a big gap between Ronnie Lott and Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
And there's also a big gap between Earl Thomas and Devin McCourty.
Oh, it's a chasm.
Now. Sure. Let's see. Chris writes in. Listen to the
show. Am I the only one that bothers, though, that Collins thing? Maintain his level.
Well, I think people have already.
They're
counting their chickens too soon.
Yes,
that's true.
You're basing it off one game,
right?
single impressive performance.
As I say often about you, Andy, you're not the only one it bothers, but you are the one it bothers the most.
I just literally, he has one thing, and that was great. That was fun to watch. And if you can extrapolate that,
right,
then it's great. But within the course of his career, that was the outlier. Right?
Right.
The very short time.
Right. He's shown the ability.
Right.
Now he's got to get the consistency.
But you know what they say. Everybody at this level has the ability. Consistency is key to becoming a great player.
Chris listens every Tuesday and Thursday. He loves it, and it's his first time emailing.
Welcome aboard,
he's
Chris.
From Alabama, now living in Arizona.
Roll Tide.
For some reason, I think Brady will have an amazing season due to all the bad things everyone has been saying. Also,
Jamie Collins needs to maintain his level. All those bad things.
Also, I have a pretty good feeling the Patriots are going to go pretty far.
All the bad things people are saying about Brady
this year. Hopefully, winning a Super Bowl. Hopefully, someday I'll call and actually get to talk to y'all.
Nice. You're welcome aboard anytime.
What was it?
Fred may hang up on you.
Third best player in the NFL. according to that?
I believe
thing?
So.
Third. All those bad people.
Stupid.
I know you hate those polls, and I do as well, but, you know, to sit there and say there's a lot of bad things being said about Tom Brady when he was just picked the third best player in the whole league.
You know, although some people dispute whether the players even vote.
There are there are people saying bad things about Tom Brady.
Sam Monson?
You know what he's getting? He's getting what you tried to do to me. The record most associated 6-10.
Yeah.
He is the man most associated with Brady being not elite anymore, even though he didn't necessarily
say he wasn't elite. But what I'm saying is he wrote one story in the level of effort by everybody around here to shoot that story down was unprecedented in my mind. It was just amazing how universally shot down one guy was in the wilderness. And Andy's right. He didn't even say he wasn't elite. If you read the story, all it said was that there was this one particular stat about being under pressure where his completion percentage went down to like 50-something percent. And that ranked him 28th in the league.
And you know, the same spring when Josh McDaniels has him doing drills under pressure.
Right. And that was what he said why he wasn't to be considered with Breeze, Rodgers, and Manning. Right? Those are the three he said he's no longer in that group with those three. It was amazing. The level of defense that I know there was a
as
lot
well
of
it should be.
I know a lot of bad things were said. We did it. We took part in the defense. We had him on the show.
Right?
So I'm not. This is not one of my media check marks. This is I'm trying to say, to your point, Fred. Where are all the negative things being said about Tom Brady? Who's speaking bad about him?
Eric, on the other end of the spectrum, did you see that Jaws has started his
Jaws
breakdown? I think he releases like four or five every day of quarterbacks, and he started at the bottom. And he has Matt Cassel as the worst quarterback in the NFL, 32.
I heard about that.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, it.
This, I think he's mid-20s at the worst.
Yeah, it's everything's about the lists and the groups.
I need to see.
Clicks.
Yeah, who is he considering?
I don't know, but I like Matt Cassel, and I think, you know, the old saying, if you put a lot of talent around him, he's, you know, serviceable.
Well, I would even argue, like, some of the guys that are starting, like, who did he have penciled in for, like, the Oakland starter?
Schaub?
Okay, well, he's not as good as Matt Cassel right now, based on last year.
You know, some of the other guys, Henny.
Not as good as Cassel. Two.
Mick something.
He played well last year. I'll give him that.
By the way,
he's the one who played for Chicago.
Kyle Orton being
on,
released
right?
from the Cowboys? Kyle Orton being released from the Cowboys? Any reaction? No? Non-factor? Yeah. No big deal? He could be a serviceable backup for somebody.
I suppose good to know, like, if you need an emergency, if you needed a...
Yeah.
Does he not want to play, though? Didn't he not show up and everything?
Yeah, didn't he... Wasn't he the guy that they signed off the street?
Yeah, last year.
Last year when Romo.
Last year,
yeah.
So he, you know, wasn't he already out of football?
I guess I don't know.
Am I confusing him with someone else?
No,
I am. It was Kitna, right?
Oh, yeah. Kitna.
It was
yeah.
Kitna. John they signed Kitna. Off the street. Yeah. Orton was there all year. I was. Yeah.
I am enjoying this golf we have on in the background.
Well, that is the one good thing.
The course is making them look like.
It's
a-holes.
The one good thing about the British Open is you see the pros sometimes look like we would.
And then they nail it. Beautiful shot.
Why are they breaking nine irons over their knee?
Yes,
that's what I would.
Yes, Henrik Stenson did this morning. He broke his wedge over right over his knee. It's funny that you said that without knowing.
If you do that, do you get to replace it or are you done?
Not in that round. The next day, I actually heard our boy Witt on the hub today talking about it.
Your boy Witt.
I remember you made fun of me.
I know. I call him Michael.
You now
Whitmer.
Call him Witt.
Eric in Houston, glad to hear the whole gang back together, and even more excited that training camp is just around the corner. I have a question regarding the old podcast. A few weeks ago, I heard a few emails and calls referring to the old podcast, so I went back and listened to some old shows from the 2007 season. My question is, what happened to the other guy that was on the show? I started listening in the 2010 offseason before the 2011 season and had never heard of the guy and just wanted to ask. Also, I wanted to give props to Paul and Andy for being on the 16-0 bandwagon way before everyone else. Thanks for the great offseason, and as always, F the Jets. There were a lot of guys who have been here and left the show at some point.
He died.
Dead. He is the guy that when we refer to he who shall not be named, that was him.
He's right. Either dead or dead to me, but to it us. Involves dead.
He
died.
He left and did some bad things to us.
He died.
So we don't like him.
Backstabbing.
My internet's continuing to.
Oh, I thought everything was all right.
Yeah, it came back.
Kevin,
and
get in here.
Again.
On your knees again.
Kevin, what did
Sasha the grapes?
What did the IT guy say?
He did nothing. He went down to the hall to check the port of where it's coming from.
He said, "Unplug it and plug it back in."
That's what I did, and I rebooted it, and all that.
And it came up for a second, but now it's down again. I don't know what's going on. It just
can't keep it up.
Yeah, I need one of your pills. You know, oh, but you're a glass cannon. As soon as you shoot, it breaks.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. But.
Look at that. And you waste the Pepsi out.
Yeah, he's mad at you for drinking his Pepsis, and now you didn't even finish it.
Right.
I haven't had a chance. It's a tiny little thing. I'm dealing with my IT problems, trying to run a show here.
Paul finishes those in like 10 seconds. It's not a lot of soda.
That's a shock.
I know, but Paul, you know, he's out of this world when it comes to drinking carbonated beverages.
He is.
You know?
You should enter a contest.
Now Strippers is going to send me a
how
tweet.
Bad soda is for you?
Yeah.
It is. Every study says either you're going to have a stroke.
It's a gateway drink. It is. It's a gateway drink. Leads to pizza and hamburgers. All right. Well,
wait, are you out of emails?
I can't get to them.
My cholesterol was
What's wrong with
high,
your phone?
Now I have to go back to my phone.
Oh, my God, back to my phone.
And because, you know.
He makes it sound like he's
because I have a Because I have a company phone. When you go in, you have to put your password in because they won't let you.
Oh, my God, 5 digits to get to an email. Oh, my God.
You only have to do 5. I had to do 6.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, I only have 5.
Oh, wow.
What's yours, Pip?
No.
Let's see. Diego writes
Wally.
In. He wants to defend himself about the Jamie Collins. He says, just to clear things
that's
up.
That's not right.
I said maintain excellence only because that seems to be the expectation of all the Yahoos on Bleacher Report. Personally, I thought he was disappointing for 90% of last year.
You're right.
And I expect him to be average to slightly above average this year. Unfortunately, I think the Colts game was just a flash. Love the passion, Andy, but maybe you should think about some medication to calm you down.
Well, maybe you should write a little more clearly, because you made that sound like that was your view, not one that you were parroting from somebody else.
And also, you know, a disturbing trend among our listeners is to be referring to Bleacher Report as a source of news.
Wow.
Check. That ain't no glass cannon.
No, but,
that's solid Civil War steel. You know, anyone can write anything and post it on Bleacher Report.
But isn't it like the biggest? I mean, aren't they now tied in with?
They're huge.
Okay. So a lot of people are going to read it. Whether you like it or not, it makes sense that they're so big and we're going to have to hear their work.
Why are they so big?
And they're, I don't know. And they're not all frauds. I mean, Chris Sims, those comments were on Bleacher Report. He's doing stuff for Bleacher Report. I mean, there are different layers to Bleacher Report.
There are. Steven writes in.
But the problem is, the guy wrote it like he expects Jamie Collins to maintain excellence. And then he pretends that, oh, no, I meant the media seems to think and people on Bleacher Report. Right. No, that's not what he said. Although he's right, because a lot of people are projecting. I mean,
this happened on Tuesday, Fred.
People talking Jamie Collins Pro Bowl and all. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Let's see him just, you know, play a month of good football.
Do we pick him as a potential Pro Bowler?
Potential first time Pro Bowler, yes, definitely. That was Eric.
Steven says, I'm a bit concerned about the situation with the studio and the fact that everything around it is being upgraded, but it is okay. I have your back. So he's writing a letter to Dear Robert Kraft.
Don't.
Would you please use your petty cash fund to upgrade the PFW studios? It is the only real media outlet for NFL news that is accurate, insightful, and peppered with the right amount of humor. If the petty cash...
Give us a raise, too.
Is already allocated. Maybe you could cut somebody's allowance a week or two. I can't read that.
Then you shouldn't have read it.
Let's see.
Our listeners are not morons, Fred.
Todd writes in.
Some are.
Dobson seems just too fragile and tentative. Means to me that he is not comfortable yet and definitely not at NFL speed.
But I think the same thing about all three of those young receivers. Kembrell Tompkins, to me, looked as awkward and uncomfortable as I continue to say, Ocho Cinco the year before when everybody made it into this
and
big
Boyce
story.
And Boyce didn't seem all that comfortable.
Now, Boyce Paul did the thinks least, he's really confident.
Boyce did the least of all of them.
Right. But I'm seeing when he was on there, he didn't seem comfortable.
So I, based using that sort of barometer, I'm not comfortable with any of those
right.
three.
He looks more confident this year.
And Danny Amendola, clearly, you know, there were times last year late in the year, remember, he would go the wrong way or something, and Brady would have to tell him which side to go to so Brady knew which side not to throw to.
Todd also says, if anyone has some info about places to visit while we're in Europe, extra days in Paris, Amsterdam, and Dusseldorf, he'd like some info.
Go ahead, Eric, you pseudo-travel expert.
Nothing pseudo about it, my friend.
He can tell you where to get a good dance lesson in
Budapest. No, that was Vienna.
In Vienna.
This guy's going
sausage.
To where again?
Dusseldorf, Paris.
Never been to Dusseldorf, but Paris I've been to, obviously.
It's a city of love for everybody
except
Eiffel
Tower. Here it's good.
No. Where else?
I don't know.
Okay.
You stepped on me, Fred. I had a good line there.
Adam in Alexandria, Virginia, I'm curious as to what you consider an elite safety. Do they need to be playmaking types, or is it just the top 5 to 8 safeties currently in the NFL? Because as Paul says, there is a huge drop-off from Earl to even the second safety, in my opinion. But because there are a lack of playmaking safeties in the league, there aren't any Ed Reeds and Troy Polamalu's in his prime, should we now consider the 4th and 5th safeties in the league not elite?
Yes.
Because they don't pop to the naked eye when watching them play with regularity. They are still the 4th and 5th safeties in the league currently and should be considered elite, just the way I look at it anyway.
I look at it the other way. You have to be a certain level of play for me to consider you elite, even if you're the 2nd-best safety, 3rd-best safety.
I agree with that. But
good job, Eric. Talked about no one's drilling holes in our walls anymore.
But I don't think there's that big a difference between something like Cam Chancellor, I think, is pretty good. I think Earl Thomas is better. I think Eric Berry is pretty good, too.
I like Eric Berry.
I think, you know, I don't think
he's
that,
a very good safety.
I don't think there's a huge gap between Earl Thomas and Eric Berry. Do you?
I wouldn't say chasm, but, you know.
Chasm.
That's my word of the day.
Such a loser. It's a chasm in your brain.
I know. All right. Well, it's 2:00, so that's it for this show. I apologize for the technical issues that I had, which kind of interrupted the flow.
It did
a little bit,
multiple times.
Yeah,
and I felt it, and I didn't enjoy it.
We'll hope to get that rectified. Paul, that's a big wallet you've got there. I just noticed that. What do you got?
You got that many credit cards? You got a big wallet?
It's like a George Costanza wallet.
That's why I don't wear it in my pocket.
All right. All right. We will see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.